go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'd like to thank Special Counsel Robert Mueller for the 5 p.m. news dump late on a Friday that completely rewrote this program. Yeah, we'll be talking about it, no doubt about it. But hey, sometimes we talk about things that we actually know something about first. And toward that end, I would like to extend congratulations to proud grandpa Bossman Wayne. Before we wade into the sewer, the political so-called swamp, a note. Bossman Wayne has a brand new bouncing baby grandson, and his name is Lincoln. Welcome to planet Earth, Lincoln. Things may seem to be rather a mess right now, but some of us are doing our best to try to make it better. And then, here in a few years, we'll hand it over to you, and you can try too. But welcome to being a living, breathing, sentient, self-aware creature on the only planet in the known universe on which we are absolutely certain there is life. Welcome, Lincoln. Welcome. And what an awesome name. I just thought it'd be nice to start the program with a little bit of good news. And that seems like good news to me. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, Friday on the Front Porch for the 22nd day of March 2019. We will forever note this day as the day that the Mueller report was turned in, and we'll continue to wonder if it will ever be disclosed to we, you, me, we the people, otherwise known as the annoying hoi polloi that certain Republicans and maggots wish would just shut the fuck up and go away. At the beginning of every program, of course, we have thanks to extend. Thank you very kindly to our subscribers. Thank you to Jamie. Thank you very kindly to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of California. Thank you to Bill in Florida. Thank you to Michael. And thank you to Tirani. Thank you all very kindly. You are the partial sponsors of the program for the 22nd day of the month, and it is deeply appreciated. Deeply appreciated indeed. Thank you very kindly. Also, I'll go ahead and mention this at the front of the program, and maybe with any luck, who knows, wouldn't it be awesome? I won't have to mention it again all the way through the program. In order to finish the week's fundraising, we need to raise $435. Yeah, it's kind of scary, isn't it? But there's good news. Since her challenge was not fulfilled last night, and by the way, I forgot to extend thanks to our buddy Andy the Angry Jew, who kicked in last night toward that challenge. Since Chris's challenge was not met last night, she has elected to double down, and so there are $200 worth of challenges on the table this evening, courtesy of Chris in Germany. Okay? We'll call it the Mueller Day Challenge. I won't wish you a happy Mueller Day because we don't know if it's going to be happy or unhappy. There are several potential barometers for how we might gauge that. We'll get into that in fairly short order. But if you would like to help keep the horn on the air, and frankly, I have to pay a bill tomorrow, or there won't be any horn come Monday, we need to raise $435, and $200 of that is in matching challenges. So if you kick in five, it'll turn into 10. If you kick in 100, it turns into 2. If you kick into 200, it turns into 4, up to the first $200 to come in. So let's not wait around for somebody to kick in $200. Let's get started. And that way, as soon as the program's over, I will be paying a bill, and happily so. Okay. Of course, the PayPal interface is over at headon.live. There's a tab there called Contribute. Just go and, well, no, it's on the main page. You can just scroll down the main page, and it'll be right there, the PayPal interface. And hopefully, like I said, we'll get this knocked out, and we can devote ourselves to what I suspect will be a most scintillating conversation going forward this evening. In point of fact, I'm only going to blather for a little bit here, just a few of my own thoughts. And I thought, given the nature of the breaking news, that we might, in fact, extend the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation for more than the usual 2 hours or so. Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. Scott in San Diego says, headon.livestream sounds great. No audio on White Rose. Maybe AG Barr has decided not to release it. Oh, God. It begins. Yeah, I found out from Brother Deacon Asa just before the program started that the White Rose stream is down. But the headon.live stream is, as our buddy Steve from Georgistan says, bulletproof. Subject line, no shit, coming from Darlene in Connecticut. Mr. Mueller can sleep in tomorrow, and it's spring, unofficially, so he can now play golf to his heart's content. Well, unless Nadler et al. Have a different idea. Well, there's that, too. There is that, too, indeed. Let's see. Oh, by the way, if you don't feel like chatting in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, you're welcome to wander on over by the chat room. I have a feeling it'll be sizzling this evening as well. Just go to headon.live, click chat room, pick out a screen name and a password, jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted at this point in time, more to arrive shortly, by the likes of Anatole and Otto and Squeaky. And you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a spacing guild master, well, spacing guild masters and cats, neither of them are particularly fond of getting wet, and it's raining where Sparky is, so there will be, even though he's a spacing guild master, there will be no space folding today. You'll also be capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan. So a good time awaits people and who go into the chat room, and also to those who participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. If you want to participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that we hold every Friday in an old hollow tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, then just go to headon.live, and the link is there on the main page. Click on it, and it will, well, presuming that you have your Skype open, it'll boot you right over into the conversation. Okie doke? Okie doke. Where to begin? Well, I was just minding my own business, pulling a program together for Friday on the front porch. I was looking for some good news, some the ordinary news of the day. I found the good news in the news of the birth of young Lincoln there, and then there it was, and I'd heard it all today, but it was one of those boy who cried wolf moments. I've heard, oh, this is going to be the day that we're going to get the Mueller report. And so I was a little bit skeptical. But no. Apparently, Robert Mueller ran down to Kinko's with scant minutes to spare, made a bunch of copies, got one of those nifty cellophane report covers, and managed to keep any coffee stains off of it, and ran huffing and puffing to the Department of Justice to hand it over to William Barr, who I suspect is right now in a courtyard in back of the Department of Justice, digging a hole as deep as he can find in an effort to bury it. That's about how I expect it to work. I mean, you expect this from me, don't you? I am, after all, Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. I'm sorry, I'm not sanguine about this. This is not, I am how you say, not particularly inspired, because A, legally speaking, the only person that Robert Mueller was required to report to was William Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, who just conveniently was nominated for Attorney General of the United States when it appeared that it was not going to work out for Matt Hot Tub Crime Machine Whitaker. And so consequently, the Julius Geiser regime cast about looking for someone who could do some top quality dirty work. And they found him in William Barr. The last time we heard from William Barr, he was making sure that all the filthy, dirty, little felonious, treasonous, nasty secrets from the Reagan and first Bush administrations were carefully buried where no one would ever find them. It may be he's putting the Mueller report in the same hole where he put the report from the Iran-Contra special prosecutor. You think? But when a man has a talent for doing something, even if it's whitewashing a vast criminal conspiracy, well, as long as you've got Republicans, you're going to have people who need to have that job done. So lo and behold, there he was, and he sat in his confirmation hearing and talked about how, well, gosh, golly gee, you know, Mrs. Mueller and the Muellers and the Barrs, well, we go to church and worship Jesus together every Sunday. Absolutely do, we do. And then a little bit later, lo and behold, what was his son? Winds up as a lawyer inside the Trump White House? Hell no, there's no nepotism there. Shucks, good golly, no way would that be any kind of a conflict of interest. Ah, hell, pshaw. So Bob Barr was the guy who shot watermelons in his backyard during the Iran-Contra to prove that Hillary killed Vince Foster. Bill Barr. So, you know, Bill Barr is how about that? Bob Mueller, no pictures? No 8x10 glossy color photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one? What gives here? But like I said, there are some barometers for this, one of which is the tweet storm. The tweet storm that I expect we will see from the maggot monarch, that trademark, Brother Deacon Asa, in fairly short order. If he's already started, well, because... See, he would be required, or presidential decorum would require him to just keep his mouth shut and then let the process work. Because, again, Mueller only has to report to Barr. Barr doesn't have to do anything to anybody except maybe provide an executive summary to the chair and ranking members of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees. That executive summary could be as terse as Ixnay on the impeachment A, Octe, signed Ilbe. But if, over the course of the weekend, and we have no way of knowing, until it happens, if over the course of the weekend it turns out that Julius Geiser gets his tiny little thumbs on his unsecured phone and begins tweeting like a man possessed. If we get something on the order of what we got last weekend with a 50-tweet storm, maybe it was because he knew back then somebody had told him, Mueller. Maybe that's why there was a 50-tweet storm last weekend. Maybe. But if he goes absolutely bananas on Twitter this weekend, that might be an indication. Or then again, maybe one of the indications was what he did today by overriding his own regime's sanctions against North Korea.
Yeah, I just ended them.
And I'm not one who's ever prone to using the phrase, poor Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. But if she wasn't such a horrible, horrible attempt at being a human being, you'd almost feel sorry for her, because when she was asked about the business of Trump overriding his own Treasury Department's sanctions on North Korea, Jethreen Bodine's only answer was, well, he likes Chairman Kim, and he don't think them sanctions is necessary. That's how they say things like that in the Ozarks in Arkansas. No, sorry. That's where the Bodines are from, you realize. Bug Tussle. Siler City. Siler Swamp. Hooterville. Yeah. Maybe it had something to do with what he did with the Golan Heights. Not that it was his to do anything with, but apparently that doesn't matter. Had a note before the program from our buddy Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, every damn day. It's been a while since I sent one of these, Ron says. Today, the Oompa Loompa in chief ceded to Israel the Golan Heights. This is land that Israel seized in 1968. No countries recognize Israel's claim to this land, just like his move to call Jerusalem the capital of Israel. This was a big, wet, sloppy kiss to Bibi Netanyahu and his upcoming election. The problem I see is that even if we get a Democratic president in 2020, this and many other things that this maladministration has done will not be rolled back. Democrats will allow most of the truly toxic initiatives of Donald Trump to stand, and if challenged, the packed federal bench will uphold these wrong-headed decisions. Huge cuts to the social safety net while giving more money to our bloated military. The EPA, IRS, and other departments are being gutted to a point that they cannot carry out their essential missions. Our only hope is that the Young Turks, not those Young Turks, the little Y, little T Young Turks, our only hope is that the Young Turks that have been elected to Congress can hold the feet of the establishment Dems to the fire. Ron says, I'm not going to hold my breath. I would advise you follow Ron's advice and don't hold yours. So, the one thing we know about the Mueller report at this point in time is that we don't know anything about the Mueller report. We're just a little ways into the program, and for about an hour and 20 minutes now, the speculation has been running wild. And some of it seems, frankly, kind of silly. I mean, let's take a look. Benjamin Wittes, the editor of the Lawfare blog, as soon as the word came out that the report had been turned in to Bill Barr, Benjamin Wittes tweeted, doesn't life feel different now? I don't know if he was being sarcastic or ironic. Life does not feel different now to me. Does it to you? And there's reason for me being the little ray of sunshine that I am. Look, let's just be clear. we'd all love nothing more than to have a Mueller report that says that Donald J. Trump did it in the bedroom with the wrench. How many of us think that's going to happen? No, I'm not one of them. I go back to that warning or that hint that Rod Rosenstein, Republican, remember, gave a little while ago, saying, well, of course, you know, for anybody who's not charged, not going to be charged, should not be mentioned in the report because that would violate our obligations as a prosecutor. Does it really? Because, you know, I'm so old I can remember back to the 2015 and into the 2016 election cycle when James Comey didn't think that way about talking about Hillary Clinton, who was also not going to be charged with a crime, but was the subject of not one, but two reports, one of which came within a couple of weeks before the November election. Oh, we've been waiting for Don Jr. to be perp walked away on his tippy toes in handcuffs. We've been waiting for Jared, who, it turns out, of course, has been carrying on foreign policy via WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, which can be hacked by just about anybody who wants to spend the money to do the hacking. Carrying on foreign policy negotiations, not just with old Crown Prince Bonesaw, Saud bin Salman, whatever. No, not just that, but all manner of sleazy and scurrilous types. And he's been doing business out of the White House almost from the very beginning. Mueller didn't indict him. Hell, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III lied straight up, bald-faced, about meetings with high-ranking Russian officials at the Republican National Committee, or convention. Got caught in the lie. I've said all along that was the easiest prosecutorial get in the whole thing. Mueller didn't indict him. Mueller is done indicting. Yeah, he's caught a bunch of sleazy, skeevy SOBs. But he wasn't even, and this just makes me crazy. He didn't even try to press the issue of making a notorious pathological liar testify. What does that say? By God, we went all the way to the Supreme Court to make Bill Clinton testify in a civil suit about a blowjob, but Bob Mueller couldn't even be bothered to press the issue of a subpoena on a guy who, if he told you it was bright, sunshiny, and warm outside, the first thing you'd do would be to run and grab an umbrella. Donald Trump can't even tell the same lie twice. That's not even an exaggeration. That's a damn fact. We saw that with the whole business about Tim Apple. And I saw somebody on Facebook said they were having a watch party. What, on the Titanic? Watch the ship? Look, nobody wants to be wrong more than me. But even the one instance where we found out about a guy by the name of Individual One, that's not in Mueller's purview. That's the Southern District of New York. You know, a U.S. attorney who can be fired at a moment's notice. Yeah. Darlene in Connecticut writing says, oh, yeah, I definitely got the impression that Trump's tweet storm last weekend was fallout from being tipped off about something big. Interesting how Mueller waited until Trump had already flown off to Florida for the weekend to turn in his report. Wonder if Mueller's going to report that he cannot conclude either way if there was collusion or obstruction, because don't forget he could not do a face-to-face with Trump. He could not ascertain Trump's intent. Wonder why the Trump kids weren't indicted. I suspect Darlene is a little more hopeful than I. But there's this old saw that says, a pessimist is an optimist with life experience. Oh, okay, we got clarification from Jack in Shreveport. No, he did it in the bedroom with a full jar of pee. Colonel Mustard, indeed. Thank you, Jack. That's worth a wee tiny jingle. Yeah. Steve in New York says, I just tuned in. Did you see that the report was delivered? Yeah. And this is, and the another part, another aspect of this is that this is one of those, now is the time for all good, okay, we'll upgrade it to people. Citizens. Now is the time for all good citizens to come to the aid of their country. Whatever is in that report, I hope somebody's ready to leak it. Because it may be the only way that we ever see it. And don't think for a minute that this is going to be some magnum opus, like amateur pornographer winker at rape Ken Starr gave us. I'd be surprised if this thing was 100 pages long. Right. Steve in New York says, oh, dear Bob, you have a maxim that you don't comment on books you haven't read. Please apply the same maxim here. I'm not commenting on the report. I'm merely commenting on the circumstances around it. I have no idea what's in it, and if anybody out there says they do, and they're not anonymous and they haven't leaked it, don't give them any more credence than you do me. Elbert in Rhode Island with a couple of notes. The Israelis captured the Golan Heights in 1967, not 1968. It was captured during the 67 Six-Day War. And secondly, Elbert says, I've been waiting for the report to show that Putin has concrete blackmail evidence on Dope 45. You may have a long wait. And all I can... This is more about feelings than anything else. But there aren't any indictments. There are no extra indictments inside the Mueller report. That's simply impossible. What happens to the Democrats if, and again, speculating, If Mueller says next to nothing about Donald Trump, or if he concludes that there was no Russian collusion, what happens to the Democrats who have said, well, you know, we've got to let the Mueller report get in, we've got to let that process run its course? What happens there? Flavio with a note. What I said, I said I did think people were placing too much hope in Mueller. Maybe we'll get more from the SDNY. Hey, there is an indication that the greatest degree of exposure for that criminal enterprise passing as a family is within the bailiwick of the Southern District of New York. And hopefully they get to keep doing their work as long as the current sitting U.S. attorney doesn't get fired. And who knows, with no more Mueller investigation hanging over his head, he might feel emboldened to do that. That could be interesting. There's this, from Steve in New York, there's a practice or a concept in legal pleading and legal writing called incorporation by reference. And that is, rather than rehash and republish everything in a document, you write, you make reference to the document, and you say, in comma, incorporated herein by reference thereto, as if full, more fully set forth herein. Steve in New York says, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Mueller will incorporate the Steele report by reference, otherwise more commonly known as the pee-pee tape report. Irish Dave says, does Bobby Mueller really look like Lee Hamilton to you? By the way, Bob, quit telling us to leak. Kay, quit telling us what to leak, Bob. Should have seen that one coming, you guys. So we're a half hour into the program, and I feel like I've mostly had my say on the topic. I went ahead and asked Sparky to go ahead and connect the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable to me so that we could afford more time for the conversation for the group more widely. If you want to participate, use the Skype link over at headon.live and jump in. And you'll be welcome to participate. You there, Sparky?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hanging out.
So, are you filled with hope for a better day, or?
Well, I had a good day yesterday. It was a little strange day.
No, but I mean, with the Mueller thing and everything, are you eagerly anticipating?
No, I just wait to see how it plays out. You know, because the talking head Lollapalooza that I saw before you went live, I mean, who are you going to believe? Everybody's got their own theory.
Yeah, and the vast majority of it, no matter how many millions of dollars these professional commentators are paid, it's just guesswork at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you turn the station, you get another point, and you go, everybody's just guessing. That's what they get paid to do, is guess.
I guess you're right. So what was yesterday's strange but good day?
Oh, my! I told you my minion had moved away.
Right.
Well, I get a call in the morning and he says, can I come over? And I said, well, how come you're not going in school? And he goes, oh, I'm having a bad day. And so his mom didn't know what to do with him, so brought him over here to help me out for the day. So we got some stuff done.
Oh, cool. And
then we got to hear a truck wreck from a distance, and big booms, one of them dump trucks coming from Paradise. Go to the landfill in Anderson, north of me. Hit the guardrail on the. We got these three creeks that run right near us. And he hit the second bridge as he's going west, just scraped the guardrail a little bit, and then he overcorrected, came across, and hit head on into a guardrail on the other side of the road.
That can't have been pleasant.
I mean, it was two huge booms, and we go, what the hell was that? And then we found out about it just a few minutes later when the people that moved into his old house, they're friends of his family, so he was knew the guy had just come home from work, and he's told us he had to drive over broken glass and everything to get through there before they got anything hauled off or closed.
Sounds like a mess.
So his mom was late picking him up.
But yeah, kind of like me. I found out too late that there had been a wreck on the Chelian Bridge a couple of days ago when I had to go to Charleston. And that was the day that apparently they didn't get everything cleaned up because I managed to drive across a screw and was lucky to not have my tire go flat before I could get to the tire place. Wrecks are messy things.
They certainly are. That's kind of like what's going on. It's just one big train wreck, maybe.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
To speak.
Well,
we got to pull it out of the ditch before we hit it.
Yeah, no kidding. How you doing, John?
Hey, Bob. How's Agnes, buddy? Is she doing all right?
She's doing okay. And more of her reporting has come back, and she's in pretty good spirits because the blood work is looking better and better and better.
Well, good, good. The fact that she's married to you, of course, I mean, you know, would
don't push it, Buster.
I've been enjoying your post, Bob. I've been enjoying your post.
Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly.
But I smell a rat.
You mean this evening with the report?
Yeah, well, I've been saying it, you know, on my show for, I don't know, over a couple of weeks now, you know, that DeBar's got the world in his hands, baby. It's up to him what we see. Not that we can't dig it out, but, you know, he's going to give his conclusions to, you know, his summary of the conclusions. And for some reason, you know, I just, you know, he was Donnie's pick for one. That's probably the biggest thing on my radar that goes.
Right, and let's understand. Donnie couldn't pick apples in an orchard, all right?
No.
So that means that some smart, evil maggot said, hey, let's get Bill Barr. He's already killed one investigation into massive Republican corruption. Maybe he'd like to go for two.
Yeah.
And I just happen to have a clue here, John.
You know, he did not know Barr from his left nut.
Oh.
before he appointed him. He don't know anything, nothing about him. And it just made me nervous when he appointed anybody that man appoints makes me nervous because I feel there's an alternative motive.
No one who agrees to go to work for Donald Trump does so without some level of criminal intent.
That's right. That's what I think. You've already got your foot in the grave room when you meet up with the man, when you hook up, when you decide you'll work for him. My book, your political grave.
Right. So, like I said, I've got a clue. I've got a clue. They reached out, John, to Rudy Giuliani, and longtime professional grifter Jay Sekulow.
Oh yeah.
For a response, on the Mueller report being submitted.
Well, let the clown show begin.
And they said, we're pleased that the Office of Special Counsel has delivered its report to the Attorney General pursuant to the regulations. Yeah, okay, right. That's sort of boilerplate. That's sort of bland.
That's what he's going to say.
According to
the regulations. There's the key words right there.
Yeah, that's oatmeal. But then they followed with this. And this is the tell. This is the guy holding the royal flush who begins to flush himself and sweat and look around and bet everything he's got on the table.
Yeah, let's see.
And that's this.
Hold up.
And that's this. Sekulow and Giuliani continued and said, Attorney General Barr will determine the appropriate next steps.
There you go.
How much more do you need? How much more do you need?
Yeah, we got to dig, baby. This fight ain't over. I don't want nobody out there getting all, you know, because you just asked the question, are you excited about tomorrow? Yes, I am, and we have to stay excited because this ain't, you know, whatever Barr comes out and says, We have a whole bunch of people over there in the House of Representatives that want to know a little bit more about what's in that report.
And there might be a second read on that, Bob, Seculo and Giuliani.
Yeah, Scott?
Could they be, I didn't mean to pop in, but it came to me, could they just be whistling in the graveyard and they don't know either?
They've got a hint.
Well, I think
there's a plan in the works, because Donnie has lately here been, you know, mighty zippity-doo-dah about, you know, yeah, let the public see, and then we need to have transparency, which, you know, is a freaking lie out of his mouth.
Well, and he can't keep his mouth shut. And the one that sort of grabbed me the other day, John, was when he said, well, here's what will happen. I've been saying all along there is no collusion, and the report will say there is no collusion, but he obstructed justice trying to prove there is no collusion. Yeah. It's all a hoax. Yeah.
There you go. He's laying the groundwork, you know. And the sad thing is, Bob, his minions are going to eat it up and believe it and preach it.
Oh, if it started
out on Fox and go over to Rush Limp Dick and all the other, and they'll all be singing the same song, you know.
Christ, Uncle John, they're already spinning their wheels.
I know it. Hey, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, bro. How are you, man?
I'm doing fine. But before we go any further, I do want all of the Horn family to know, and my Blue Dot family to know, that today I am saving the world.
Yes.
Ask me how I'm doing that.
How are you doing that, Brother John?
Well, you know, I seen the other day where you took a picture of that beer bottle.
Yes.
You know, well, lo and behold, today I go to the post office and there's a package in there. There's a box in there. Well, what the shit is this? And I pull it out, and it was a box from George Tire Biter. And they've sent me a gift before. And they own a ranch up here in Texas. And it's the Tire Biter Ranch.
George Tire Biter. Well, hello there.
And it's George Leroy Tire Biter.
He owns a scenic Tire Biter Ranch, which is conveniently located at the end of the dirt road 5 miles from town. Anyway, it's stuck in my head, Bob. He sent me a package today, and it contained beer. It contained beer, and the name of the beer is Save the World.
Well, now.
Out of Morgan Falls, Texas.
Oh, dear.
And it says right here. Just let me know that, Bob.
Whoever that is with their video on, turn it off, please.
Uh-oh.
Oh, is that maybe that's me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, well, John's audio went away there. Right? He was saying something. What was
no, I think John was John was fishing for the bottle, weren't you?
Oh,
you hear me now?
Lady with the video, it's fine. I mean, most people don't know. It's no big deal, man.
Well, in my case, it is a big deal, Steve, because it overtaxes my bandwidth. And,
oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Bob. I shouldn't speak for you then. I apologize.
It's the same thing. That's how come we don't let video in on my live shows on Tuesday and Thursday.
Didn't want to make John, me feel bad, you know.
John, whoever sent you the beer, find out if they're a Fire Sign Theater fan, because George Leroy Tire Biter was a character in one of the Fire Sign Theater bits.
I did not know that. I do know the name on the envelope was the George Tire Biter, and I know they own Tire Biter Ranch up by Burnett, Texas, and that's all I really know. They have
maybe sent. That's their real surname.
I have
considered
that stuck in my head because they sent me a coffee cup a long time ago, probably about a year ago, and on the back, you know, it's a real pretty map of Texas on the front. It looks real pretty, and on the back it says Scenic Tire Biter Ranch, right where we need to be, at the end of the dirt road, 5 miles, or conveniently located at the end of the dirt road, 5 miles from town. And I thought, you know, that's all the directions you need in Burnett, Texas. Well, you just go out there to the dirt road, take a left out there, and it's 5 miles. You'll find it at the end. That's the way it is. I love it.
You can park in the yard. Beware of the dog.
Yeah.
Yep. Knock three times and bring your billfold.
Uh-uh.
Oh, I hope it's not going to be one of those kinds of nights.
I'm going to need it all.
Okay.
Hey, I did like your walk down memory lane, buddy. You know, the bar you walked into, the 100-year-old
bar.
That's one
of the coolest places I know of. Just a little background on that, John. That's a billiard parlor in the basement beneath an old theater that started life not as a movie house, but as a vaudeville theater.
Oh, man.
George Burns played there. Jack Benny played there as young men.
Ain't that some shit?
They've tidied it up a little bit downstairs in the pool hall. But when I was there eons ago, there were still World War One recruiting posters on the wall.
Ain't that some shit? I love it. That's the kind of stuff, man. You're lucky if you get to see that kind of stuff.
I did notice.
To be a part of its history.
Yeah,
which you were.
I did notice that the snooker tables are gone.
Ah.
But everyone, it's a respectable pool hall. There's, I think, maybe one coin-operated 6-foot table, but the rest of them are 8-foot single slates.
Here you go, baby. 8-foot tables. I love it.
Sounds sweet.
Rick would love that.
Rick, you'd go wild in there.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And Rick,
that's a pool game.
Every table is meticulously level.
Oh,
wow. Where is this?
Morgantown, West Virginia.
There you go, Rick. Put that on your itinerary, bub.
Sounds good.
Stick there.
And it's every bit of 100 years old.
Sounds good.
The picture.
And the
words. That's why we're all out.
They don't.
So what's everybody talking
about? They don't sell draft beer.
Hello.
It's only in a bottle. And they've still got an old rack, and you can buy a pack of cigarettes in the pool hall. What about that?
I can barely hear. Everybody's chopping in and out.
I didn't hear a word of it. I just lost everything there for a second.
Yeah, go ahead. You were trying. Unfortunately, you're signed in as guest with a whole bunch of numbers. Who do I have?
Is this talking about me or somebody else, Bob?
It's a nice looking lady somewhere. I mean, she looked nice.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, don't be bringing that sexist shit in here, Steve.
Well,
I'm just giving you shit, buddy.
Trying to be a Southern gentleman here.
Well, let's be a gentleman and let her talk.
Yeah.
Ask her if she knows all about the Dick Handler. That's the ongoing joke in the chat room. The Dick Handler.
Yeah, that's two of them. That's two of them, Otto. That's twice.
Sorry.
Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it's Darlene from Connecticut.
Oh my God, that's you, Darlene.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the nice looking lady. I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I knew you were cool.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry I screwed up the stream here. I'm not a big fan of Skype. I'm a FaceTime kind of girl, but I thought I'd try to come in.
Well, no, it's work. It seems to be working fine. Well, you know of all people how craptastic the connection is here, and when video comes across, it's just like the CPU and the internet get together and they say screw it, you know, and just quit.
Well, welcome
aboard, please. Bring us some wisdom and grace.
Well, I was looking at the Office of the Deputy Attorney General's appointment letter of the special counsel.
Yes.
And this is something I've been wanting to ask Horn listeners and you, Bob, as well, especially under Section B, Roman numeral I, where they're talking about the special counsel's mandate, including any links and our coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald Trump. And I have read that or was wondering if that could be read to exclude Donald Trump himself.
It almost, the way you read it, it almost sounds exclusionary, doesn't it?
Yeah, because and we don't know the private conversations that Rosenstein and Mueller have had, you know, when Rosenstein was overseeing the direction of Robert Mueller's investigation. But I'm wondering if he really couldn't really look at him, or, I mean, he could look at him, but I don't think he could really.
Well, there is a phrase in the mandate along the lines of, and any other matters arising in the court. So that might be a cover all for other things, you know.
Well, but the thing is, the language that Darlene just cited, it said, give it to us again, Darlene. Oh, God, I despise Skype sometimes. We should be...
I'm here. Is anybody else there?
I may have muted her.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah, there you are.
Yeah, somehow my microphone got muted.
That's
All right,
me.
Let me start again. B, okay, is that... Am I okay to talk?
Yeah, you're good.
Yes,
go. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay, B, the special counsel is authorized to conduct the investigation confirmed by then FBI Director James B. Comey in testimony before the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence on March 20th, 2017, including Roman numeral one or I, any links and or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald Trump. And
okay, so what grabbed me, Darlene, is that language, including. Lawyers are careful about their languages, the language that they use.
Correct.
And when it's supposed to be inclusive and expansive, you know the phrase, including, comma, but not limited to.
Right.
The but not limited to isn't there.
Right.
And that would right. I think you're right that. Yeah.
And then it goes, and you know who what was his name? Ari Melber, who
yeah.
was on is he CNN or
no? He's MSNBC.
Yeah, he brought that up recently, and I'm thinking, okay, he finally keyed in onto that phraseology, because I've been looking at that for a while and thinking this sounds like it could potentially exclude him. And according to the book Fear, which again I was roped into reading Fear, but wanted to read Becoming, Mueller is portrayed through the eyes of John Dowd, and it wasn't very complimentary. But John Dowd had indicated that Robert Mueller had said, "I want to know Trump's intent." So it is possible that Mueller, being who he is, wanted to know Trump's intent in terms of collusion with Russia. But it's very possible that Rod Rosenstein put the, you know, restrictions on him. I don't know. But
well, if I'm sorry,
Scott, you are right, because the Roman numeral number two says any matters that arose or may arise directly from the investigation.
And the thing that popped out to me was, You got to remember the players and what's happened up till now. He made Comey go away. Well, he didn't just decide to do that because he was having a crappy day. There was a reason behind it. But what I was going to say is, people, others associated with the campaign, if Trump ran his campaign the way he ran his company, nothing happened in his company that he didn't know about and put a red check mark next to.
Right.
And you got to know that he would take that same approach in his campaign.
And throw in the fact that he does not believe in emails, and he does not like to have a paper trail anywhere exactly to him.
Yeah, you're
well,
right.
He reminds me of that character in the movie Goodfellas that was played by Paul Scorvino. Paulie didn't like to talk on the phone. If anyone wanted to get a message to Paulie, a runner would have to come to tell Paulie. Paulie would respond, and the runner would have to run back and tell the caller at the phone booth. And then the runner would have to run back to Paulie to say what the caller from the phone booth said, you know?
Don't you love it when art imitates life? That's what it is. It's what Crook, hey, it's what
Crook this is going to make one hell of a movie 20 years from now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Scott and John are right because, I mean, it wasn't the book Fear by Woodward, but it was the book preceding that one where somebody had walked into the Oval Office and said that they saw Trump's throwing a piece of paper into his mouth and swallowing it. Do you remember
that?
Yeah,
I remember that.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so he does it, and Scott's right. I mean, you know, Trump gets everybody else to do his dirty work and put their own reputations and their own, you know, selves on the line for him, which I think Cohen basically, you know, testified to that's it's sort of, it's never really, he doesn't really come right out and say it, you know, directly.
No, it's his M.O., other people's money is how he finances it, and other people's reputation is how he keeps his skirts clean.
Yep.
Is that's just Trump. Yeah, that's him.
Yep. And he's
we do have this much of a dribble. I'm just looking at the New York Times real-time constantly updated coverage. This isn't speculative. Mueller will not recommend that any new charges be filed.
Yeah.
That means if there, given months of speculation, if there isn't already a sealed indictment of Donald J. Trump sitting under seal in a federal district courthouse, he will not recommend any charges be filed against him. Kind of need to let that sink in for a minute. And meanwhile, proof that the
Skype is really jumping.
Yeah, it's horrible tonight.
Bob, you're coming in fine. I'm here.
Okay, well, thanks.
Otto.
Last 2 minutes of your diatribe, Bob, I got maybe 10 words of it, brother.
Okay, well,
I didn't get any of it.
The New York Times, Bob?
Yeah.
The New York Times said he's not going to recommend any more.
Here's the direct quote. Yeah. Robert S. Mueller III will not recommend that any new charges be filed, a senior Justice Department official said.
Got it. Thank you.
So the bottom line is, if there is not already a sealed indictment with Donald J. Trump's name on it, deposited in a federal district court clerk's office under seal, there ain't gonna be one. Not at least through this investigation.
Well, that's what I'm thinking on is a sealed indictment.
That's it, yeah.
We've walked down this steel trail, and it ain't never worked out.
I just
up hope, baby. I'm not giving up hope on this shit.
I refuse to believe that Trump, if you use a poker-playing analogy, has a handful of nothing.
Yeah.
He's too good of a law enforcement.
We've got a whole house over there full of congressmen just itching. To get their hands into this shit.
Why would somebody make a statement like that if there was no merit to it, though? Rick, where you at, man? Help.
Yeah, where's the attorney?
Where's the law, Rick? The law's going to save us, baby.
The spokesman said, "No."
Oh, hell, we're in trouble. Rick's gone. We're
no, no, Billable's in here.
Somebody forgot to pay the retainer.
Y'all need to donate up to the Bob Horn, the Horn family here, so we can keep Rick on retainer.
$1,000,
baby. Let's keep this thing going.
And, since we're at the top of the hour, let me update. Thank you, Steve and Ms. Karen, Little Twiggy and Little Cletus, for getting us going. We were at 435. We got $200 in challenges on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany, and we got $180 to go on those challenges to qualify for them. So
I'm just out there, people.
Yeah.
Way to get this voice.
And you know what? One of these days, maybe we'll be able. I'll be able to buy an internet connection that actually is stable and works and stuff.
I know exactly what you.
I've been howling at Frontier for 2 weeks now. Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I took?
I got G-Tech, which is the only company around. I live in a valley on the river. You know, it's all I have. There are no other choices. Which is something, you know, when we talk about infrastructure, this country needs badly.
I got nothing.
I'm not hearing much here.
Yeah.
That's right. I wasn't worth listening to.
Oh,
no, you came loud and clear for me, John.
Yeah, I'm having no problem hearing you, John.
Yeah.
Would rebooting help it at all? Well,
no.
I live in advanced.
Everybody would have to end the call.
I live in Oregon, and we're kind of an advanced state for technology. So you guys,
it's
are
choppy all over the place for everybody here.
Yeah. Well, and let me add one more thing into the mix. For anybody who can't use Skype, there is the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-843-4676.
There you go.
So there's room for at least one person there. Albert from Rhode Island asking, what if one of his kids gets indicted? Do you think Trump will throw them to the lions? Well, if they get indicted, they're going to get indicted by the Southern District of New York or somewhere else, yep, because Robert Mueller is not going to indict them.
Well, I would expect them to come out of the state of New York.
And here's
the
other thing.
Business in the state of New York.
You want proof that you want proof that the White House has already seen the report?
Yeah.
Okay, then this from the New York Times. The White House has not received or been briefed on the special counsel's report, White House Press Secretary Jethreen Bodine said. That means they have been briefed and they have seen it.
Yep.
This letter from Barr came out pretty damn fast.
Almost like it was pre-planned, are you suggesting, dear?
Could I be?
Maybe.
Look, it's like the way the media does obituaries, you know. And this is really gross, but it's true. There's an obituary morgue at the New York Times. They've already got Hillary Clinton's obituary written, Donald Trump's obituary written, Bernie Sanders' obituary written, Joe Biden's, McConnell's, Pelosi's, and you know, on and on and on, because
we ain't on the list, Bob.
No, I don't think so.
Oh,
I
damn.
They might put us in the funny pages, John.
Yeah, I think we're on the list, buddy. I think we're on somebody's list.
So using that as an analogy, Bob Barr has had that letter written since his first day on the job. I mean, he walks in and he looks at his legal secretary and says, I want a letter saying that I've received the special counsel's report, and I'll make a decision as quickly as I possibly can, and don't put the date on it, and when we're ready to go, we'll date it, and I'll sign it.
Bob?
Yes?
Speaking of New York Times obituaries, you knew that I had to get a TV viewing tip in.
Well, go right ahead.
If you've got Amazon Prime, there's an excellent documentary all about the New York Times obituary department. It's called Obit, and it's a great little film.
How do you have so much time to watch all this stuff? I'm glad you do, but Jesus Christ.
I can't keep up with the TV, man. I got a donkey, I got goats, I got shit I got to do.
I'm a Gemini. Okay, so there's that.
Okay.
So you leave Scott 1 watching the documentaries while Scott 2 goes out and does his thing? I mean,
you've seen those Warner Brothers cartoons with the wolf and the sheep hound clocking in and clocking out.
Oh, yeah,
Ralph.
Sure. Morning, Ralph. Morning, Sam.
They're bitter enemies to the clock in and out, and then they're friends. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the coyote's getting the stuffing beaten out of him, and the whistle blows, and
yeah.
they stop, and then and the next two
they
come in and pick up
yeah.
where they left off. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have a lot of time hangs heavy on my hands. I was supposed to go to the Bernie rally today here in San Diego, and I woke up feeling like just death on a dog's biscuit. And it didn't get any better, so I said, well, I'll just have to catch Bernie next time. I really wanted to go, too, but I feel poorly.
You got a cold? Since you feel poorly, we'll forgive you for not going then.
I've had a cold all week. I finally had to take some amoxicillin.
Yeah, well, what you and Scott both need is a mustard plaster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or a dose of salt.
Well, I'm Mr. Healthy, man. I take turmeric. It's first cold I had in 2 years, and I even got the flu shot. But that talk that Bob gave yesterday, Kentucky governor, he took his kids to a house where they had chicken pox, and the kids got it.
Man, oh, yeah.
Now, imagine if that story had a different ending.
Yeah, you know? With death.
Yeah,
but I mean, but this governor is an idiot. He's just like Mitch McConnell. I mean, what is it about Kentucky? Is it just they breed like crazy and they don't eat their protein or something? They've got no gray matter. You know, maybe I'm just being
you know, squirrel brains can transmit mad squirrel disease. So it's a fact that squirrel brains and gravy are an Appalachian delicacy, so I wouldn't be surprised to find out that Matt Bevin and, chinless Mitch McConnell have sat down to great heaping platefuls of them.
Well, it's that breakfast food that they eat in Indiana and Kentucky and Ohio down there in the southwest corner of Ohio, Getta, Goetta. It actually is good. It's pin oats and ground beef and spices and chopped up onions.
No, it's haggis without the lungs.
No, it tastes good, though, Bob. It's not haggis at all. Haggis is like your grandmother's old panties stuffed in there, you know?
No, but the oats and the meat and the spices and the seasonings, that's what's inside the sheep's stomach and some sheep lungs.
Yeah, but they don't.
Sounds
they leave
like
out.
Haggis to me.
They leave out the lungs and the stomach. It's just the wellness.
That's only because they couldn't spare them.
Oh,
this is not a cooking show, damn it!
Oh, speaking of cooking shows, I have to pass along a report courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa.
You never know what'll set Bob off.
Brother Deacon Asa could not wait for John and me to get our act together for our great fall chicken fall curry cook-off.
Yes.
So Brother Deacon Asa went ahead and tried. And I want to tell you, I don't think you ever want to get in a spicy food eating contest. Not even you, John Bridavo, with Brother Deacon Asa. Because he shot a video and sent it along to me.
Oh, Lord.
And he said, I followed the recipe that Suman provided to the letter. You know, the 4 teaspoons of ground cayenne pepper, the little Thai green hot chili peppers. I mean, Brother Deacon Asa wanted this to be hot.
Oh, man.
And he shot a video. He was eating it. Even ate one of the little Thai peppers.
Oh, yeah. God.
I watched it earlier.
Yeah. Oh,
and
Lord,
he said, you know, it's really not that hot.
Huh. Well, and then, you know what, he keeled over or what?
No, he didn't even break a sweat.
Wonder he didn't burn his balls off.
Okay,
man.
The challenge has been thrown down, I guess, Bob.
Yeah, the gauntlet is thrown down. So when
that's
I get
it, baby,
it should be considerably warmer by the time I get back from D.C. And I'm gonna set up the propane stove outside so that I don't fumigate the kitchen or gas anybody. And I guess I'm gonna follow the recipe to the letter too. But based on what Brother Deacon Ace is telling me, we're gonna have to put a little more to it. To be fair, Suman did say this is the mild version.
Oh, well, you know, he's cutting us a little slack, maybe. You know, I like my food to be, you know, I've eaten some pretty spicy shit. Sometimes a little too spicy where I went, oh, well, there's the line right there. And I don't want to go more further than that, but I will if there's a challenge on the table, baby. Well, let's see what it tastes like. Let's see.
Yeah,
I'll stick to the hors d'oeuvre table.
I heard y'all talking all sorts of shit about food out there all the time, baby. Yeah,
Bob wasn't trying to set my ears on fire or anything, though, man.
Well, now life is full of that, man. Life is spice, baby. We got to taste it all. Get that flavor all up in your mouth and in your nostrils and up in your eyes. Make it cry.
Have an interesting Irish drink with sour pickle juice and Irish whiskey. That was interesting.
Well, there you go.
And it's still darn, and they're still darn good. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Hey, keep your mind open, baby.
I mean, Friday afternoons and evenings over at Maggie's Pub in Fayetteville are Pickleback Friday, Steve.
No way.
Yeah.
So if I ever come to your area, we can link up and meet there one time.
And if it's on a Friday, yep, Picklebacks. Yeah.
Get hammered on Picklebacks. Oh God, I don't know how you feel the next day. Do you?
Well, I can't do the get hammered thing anymore. I mean, I have to be highly judicious about all of this.
Yeah, I understand. I can just do two or three myself. Two or three that you feel. Well, I did before those things. I think the salt water must just infuse it straight into your bloodstream or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but it also keeps you from dehydrating.
Well, they were damn good.
Well, they were, and not to tell tales out of school or anything, Steve, but I think you and Billable Rick put a hurtin' on that bottle of Crown Royal that had nothing to do with any Picklebacks.
Damn, Rick, that was his fault. He
disappeared. Oh, yeah, look at that. Look, what are you doing? Throwing Rick under the bus? Come on, buddy.
When he's not here, yeah, it's easy.
Oh, he's not here? I'm a witness. It was all Rick.
I think he's hiding in the crowd over here.
Oh, shit.
That was big fun.
Either shooting pool or having at a concert or something. I love that guy's laugh.
Oh,
he's good people.
Yeah, no, Rick's a good man.
Speaking of good people, there's Miss Tracy. Are you here? Or am I? Did I have too much lunch? What's going on? Thought I seen her.
It's too much lunch, there, buddy. I'm telling you, you got to cut back on that shit.
I said.
Hi, guys.
There she is.
Yeah. Thank you. You saved me, man. Brother John was about ready to submit me to a 12-step program or something.
No. You stupid. I had you guys on mute. I was at a restaurant called Stack. It's pretty cool. You can build. They have, you know, stuff on the menu, but you can build your own salad, burgers, pizza, macaroni and cheese. I had a salad with avocado and grilled chicken and stuff and spinach and stuff like that.
Stuff. Did you have a pickleback?
Fuck no.
I wonder why the hell I get off this show and go in my kitchen and wonder what there's to eat. Every time I leave here, I'm hungry. What's going on, honey? What are they talking? Food? They're talking about food.
We just came from seeing the movie Us.
Did you like it?
It was interesting.
Yeah.
It's worth seeing.
Tracy, recommendation, huh?
It's a recommendation. I go, absolutely.
All right. Well, write that down, man. I take them to heart. You know that.
I do. Thank you. Oh, speaking of recommendations, who has Hulu?
I have Hulu.
We got Hulu.
Okay. The Act.
The Act.
The Act. A-C-T, not X. I'm black, but I'm not, I can say Act.
Okay.
But it's about this woman who had Munchausen by proxy syndrome or whatever.
Wow.
And tortured her daughter for like 15 years. And
painful.
And the daughter wanted to, well, it wasn't the daughter. The daughter's boyfriend murdered her. Not the daughter, but the mother.
And
I mean, it was,
it's with, what's her name? Patricia Arquette. She plays the mother. It's really, it's another White People Gone Crazy show. But
oh, well, there you go, baby. The last one you recommended.
This is enough to...
Captain Plainside or something.
Don't give up.
Yes.
Yeah, let's... Yeah, let's... I'm wondering if... I'm wondering if just by chance this might be on me. I'm going to try something real quick.
Can't hear a thing.
The stream is dropping on my end.
Yeah, I lost like the last minute and a half.
No, it's coming in strong here.
I lost it also over here.
Okay.
So. God. That's so
Hi, Christopher joined. I can hear you guys.
Coming and going, huh?
I wonder if it's because there's so many people in chat right now that it might be exceeding a bandwidth limit.
That doesn't seem like it would be the case, but...
could have jumped on a bad socket. Who knows, man?
Well, you're coming in strong, Bob. I'm hearing Bob really strong, but Tracy was...
Yeah, Bob's in strong.
But then he'll go out for like a minute, and I don't hear anything. Yeah,
Donnie, maybe try to control the internet.
It could be Winston. They're awful, so it could be on my end.
Well, somebody checking the chatter after this Mueller report is out. What's going on? I should check YouTube and see what the headlines are for bits and pieces from MSN or CNN.
Just like the report saying stuff. Los Angeles Times is basically reporting the same thing, that he's not recommending any more indictments.
It's they're like playing it down. They're playing it down.
So they don't know anything at this point.
Well, now what's the deal with Roger Stone? Roger Stone part of the indictment or part of the Mueller report?
Yeah, and he's going to trial, and the Mueller team will still try him, even though there's no more Mueller investigation.
I see. Right. He's wrapped it up. Yeah.
Well, Hannity's going to break out the trumpets and trombones tonight, ain't he?
Yeah, he may have four or five bugs crawling. Hannity may have four or five bugs crawling on him tonight.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be tickled.
Colin was his attorney.
Little freaking Renfield.
The matter of
marching band in the background.
Let's have their little party until the other shoe drops.
There's this guy, Rick Gates, I think his name is, who, like, three times now they have delayed sentencing him.
Yeah.
And the way I heard it was they don't want to sentence him until they wring out every bit of assistance he can render to Mueller and the crew.
Yeah, they have him on financial fraud and lying to the FBI. They have him. He pleaded guilty to that.
I just can't envision.
Rick was involved a lot with Roger Stone and all that shit. He knows a lot of what happened. So
I can't imagine 2 years worth of work resulting in, you know, instead of the shit hitting the fan, it's a calcified cat turd winging the blade of the rotary fan. I just
don't. Here's what I think. I think a lot of it's going to be farmed out to state's attorney, because maybe they're thinking, what good does it do to have a federal trial for all these fuckers if they can get pardoned? Like,
well, remember when we used to listen to the stories about people talking about Mueller being so precise about that shit that he was farming stuff out, doing sealed indictments and everything in preparation for handing it over to what he probably assumed was going to be an unfriendly unwilling person to come out.
Somebody's not in the bag.
He had to see all this shit. So I think he's planned a lot of it. I don't want to get depressed about any of this. Like I said, let them have their little shit party over there. Hannity and Limp Dick are going to go crazy. And then let that other foot drop, baby.
There's nothing stopping.
It's in keeping with, thank you. It's in keeping with Mueller's Well, it's in keeping with the whole thing about the DOJ saying the protocol that you can't indict a sitting president,
right,
which I felt Mueller would follow even if he didn't personally like it. So if by farming it out, like what John is saying, it takes it out of the DOJ realm and they can get him at the state level.
Yeah, I believe that's exactly what I think. Because if we go for impeachment, it's going to rile up the right. If we come out with a bunch of, oh, look at here, they're not going to believe it and all that shit. You know, Mueller, I'm banking, baby. I don't know. You know, I have a lot of faith still left in our system. As long as there's patriots up there in the House, and we have them in there now.
Well, you're sounding a lot like James Comey, who must have known something was going down, because I find the timing of his article yesterday very interesting, because he's basically saying he has faith, you know, that he wants to see faith in the system. He doesn't care whether or not Trump is indicted or not. It seems like he knew something.
I think they really do know that if we try to come out balls to the wall, that's how come I've always said we have impeachment in the pocket. You know, and I learned a lot right here listening to Bob when we talked about impeachment being a political tool and it really does nothing. But we have that in our pocket every day with his lies and everything else we can absolutely prove. But if we come balls to the wall out here and say, hey, here it is all out here at once, it's going to incite the right. And with him up there, I worry more about him inciting them to do more than just yell and scream. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Because he does all the time. But I do. I have to believe in the system. You know, the Attorney General has a lot of control over this, but Congress does too, baby. And if they will, they will subpoena Mueller.
No, I think they're going to. I think he's going to.
One bite at the impeachment apple. One bite. If you blow that bullet this term in the next 2 years, you ain't going to use it again in his second term.
We can't have him in another second term. We can't do that.
Great point, Dennis. It's great point, brother. Chris.
That's Chris.
Oh, Chris. I'm sorry, man.
It's okay.
I'm terrible with names. I apologize. But anyhow, good, great point, Chris.
Yeah.
But remember, if they are not charging someone, they will not say anything bad to implicate someone.
No.
So that tells me not to look for a whole lot of commentary on the skeevy behavior of one Donald J. Trump.
Mm. One good thing about it is we can all see it for ourselves out here. You know, we don't need a report to tell you what he is.
He'll be tweeting his thumbs off tonight, man. It'll be 50 in the morning.
It'll be tweets.
Victory, no collusion, no collusion, victory, victory. Oh, geez.
Where are you? Saying that over and over again.
He said that before going to the press the other day. Instead of saying hello or whatever, he just said, no collusion, no collusion.
Yeah.
And then started answering. I mean, the guy's such a
remember who he's talking to. He's not talking to us. No, he's talking to his people. He's talking to his minions because it instills that loyalty in them.
Right, and he's talking to them because they're simple enough, and they are invested enough that they want to believe
him. That's the key word. They are invested too deeply in this shit. They have proudly – I have them in my family, baby. I mentioned it today on my show. Mm. I have family and friends.
They're invested, man.
That's right. They have been yelling, oh, Donnie, he's the greatest thing in the world, and now you got Mike Pompeo over there, Well, do you think Trump was sent here by God to save the Jews? Well, yes, I do believe that. Are you shitting me? Our Secretary of State is doing biblical diplomacy? You know,
that's the damn thing I've ever heard.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We've got bigger problems, but Donnie is the one that got to go before we can get the rest of these little assholes out of our system.
Well, Pompeo was on CBN, Christian Broadcasting.
Yes, that's where he was being interviewed.
Preaching folklore that's 3,000 years old. This is what we've come to, man.
Yep,
there
we are.
That's probably the most truthful thing.
Praise the Lord. Pass the plate. Come on.
That's probably the most truthful thing that Trump has said when he said that, when he was talking about no collusion, no collusion, no collusion. He said, the people that voted for me do not understand this Russia probe.
He doesn't.
They don't understand it.
They don't care about it. They are locked in this.
Oh, and by the way, just a programming note for later tonight. Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell were actually scheduled off tonight, but they will both be live.
Hey, we're going to have something to talk about.
Good.
Right. Yeah.
Conversation to be had.
Oh, and I need to
how
send
it. How are we doing on the challenge, Bob?
Well, I need to send a thank you out. Otto, thank you for jumping in, my friend. So we've got $160 out of $200 yet to round up so that I can pay the bill for the crummy internet that doesn't work.
Get another package, Bob. Yeah. Like, tell me, you just need another package to get more bandwidth. That means more money.
Thing is, I added another package, John.
It works worse than
the first two did.
What's your bandwidth, Bob?
You need to get the Ron Jeremy package.
Yeah.
7:26 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The program is now officially in the gutter.
Oh, Ron Jeremy. Oh,
Ron, the gutter.
He's that porn guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
That guy's so tacky.
Yeah, man. His thing's so big, he can do himself. All he's got to do is bend his head when he sits down.
Damn, I didn't realize there was a spur into the sub gutter, Steve.
Steve, that's called doing the hedgehog. I think is what they call that.
That is. Hey, Bob.
That's just called Steve breaking his back.
Hey, Bob, do you have an Alexa?
No, I do not. I will not allow a listening device in my home.
Yeah, well, I want them to hear me, baby. I got one. I was doing my show the other night, and Andy Pagoda, a guy on Facebook, he calls himself the Filthy Mouth Liberal. He's a friend of mine, and he was on the show, and he has one, and he says, "Hey, John, did you know Alexa farts?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, listen to this." He said, "Alexa, fart." And I'll be damned if all the next thing you hear. It's the fart sound. So wait.
This program needs is an intellectual challenge.
My son produces for me over here.
Does Cortina fart too? Good.
Wait,
there you go. Bob, that's the opposite of a cowbell. It's the fart.
Because my son jumped up from the show, and we're live. He's over there running the mixer and shit, and running. Sparky was there. And he runs out to the living room. My wife's out there, and he runs in there and tells Alexa, "Alexa, fart." And here comes the sound. And she changes the sound every time you ask her. So you get a different fart every time.
You ask. A different one.
You're out there listening to the program, and do have listening devices. Just go ahead and ask Alexa to fart, and she will do that for you.
In an attempt to find the happy news. Our buddy James in Illinois says there's a microphone hidden in the Mueller report.
Oh, there you go. We're going to hear old Donnie's whine, right?
And if we ever do get Billable Rick back, I had a note from our buddy Texas T, who said, "Did he ever go to the doctor?"
Oh, that's right. He was in a car wreck. Huh?
Yeah. So
he was saying it was all right, but you know that shit. Sneak up on
him. But Texas T also says.
Rick, are you talking about Rick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't read his story?
I didn't see it.
Oh. Yeah, it was on his Facebook.
That one?
The pictures of his car and everything, and this whole story about going to the hospital and everything, and he was there till 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Did they find anything, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pregnant.
Yeah.
They found a tumor on his left hip and performed a radical cachectomy.
Mostly deep bruising and everything, he had a sprained knee.
Man, I'm choking. You're making me laugh so hard I'm coughing.
You're expecting twins.
Said they gave him crutches at the hospital, but he didn't use them.
He didn't use the crutches.
You know, Scott, it's that deadpan delivery that makes you so damn dangerous.
Has anybody seen Stan and Ollie yet? The movie?
Didn't know there was one. I did have
the British actress name. It's actually pretty good. It's worth watching. I always liked Stanley whenever he started to cry, though. Oh, and he'd get all flustered. But they do some really good acts. But it's about their roadshow in Britain and how it got more and more popular. And I think they, in the 1950s, when they were all done with their movie career, and they never got royalties for their films that they did with, I think it was Paramount or was it MGM. So they had to go on the road to pay for their retirement. So it's kind of sad, but they talk all about that. It was worth a watch, you know.
There you go.
Texas T with a comment.
Hello.
Said, "Your Friday on the Front Porch folks are way too optimistic. The right will not be indicting against anyone in the Trump crime syndicate."
I guess I did.
"The Mueller report will either be buried or milquetoast. The only reasonable arrow in our quiver is Trump lies while in office." No, I don't think that's lies. Is Trump to meet a natural end while in office?
Yeah, be careful about that.
We didn't lose you. We can still hear you.
I hear you.
Yeah, we still hear you.
So I was hoping I wouldn't be doing this sort of thing, breaking in like this, but we're halfway through the program. Got a massive bill to pay tomorrow. Got $160 to go to finish off Chris in Germany's challenge.
Yeah.
And I can't ask kindly enough to please not leave a challenge like that laying on the table. Because there may not be a program on Monday.
Right.
If we do leave it on the table.
I like to chime in on that subject. You know I do because I'm in, you know, on my show, it's the same thing.
Anything helps.
It's the small donation. It's the numbers, baby. Yep. And y'all listen out there in Hornland, the conversation. Look at there. You hear my donkey out there baying right now.
Who's got the cat?
No. Well, I heard a cat, but if you hear a donkey, that's fine.
That's Uncle John's cat.
Yeah, that's
my cat.
My big donkey cat out there. But it is. It's important that you know, and I know how it is difficult for Bob to reach out and ask for that money. But I'm here to do it for him, and that's what you need to do. If you have $1, $2, those small donations go a long way when they're combined with other people. So there's no donation that's too small.
Hey, if you can afford a cappuccino, what the fuck? Buy one for Bob. You know,
there you go. Buy a cappuccino.
Well, I have good news. I have good news.
Yes, sir.
Just heard from Charlene, a member of the sorority of Leans in Rogues Island and a charter member of Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society.
Yeah.
Charlene says, I'll kick in toward the Mueller report, Chris's Mueller report challenge. My credit card billing period ends on the 23rd, although it could be a couple of days because of February being a short month. I had to buy eyeglasses on the card and shot my budget to hell. This works for you, then you can announce it. If not, I'll wait. I refuse to pay those motherfuckers any interest.
You go,
Charlene.
Oh, shit.
Amen, sweet Jesus.
Oh, shit.
So that'll take us down to $60 to go. Okay, $60 to finish Chris's challenge, $95 overall. Okay,
there you go, Horn family,
and we will be finished for the week.
Step up, you know, give this show the shot that it needs. You know, if you want to continue to hear a progressive voice,
and we'll be hot Monday. Who knows what the fuck's going to break over the weekend?
Oh, I'm going. Hey, look, I'm going down to the auto parts place and buy a can of. Starting fluid ether just to be safe. That's some nasty stuff, but so is this.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Table of dog donates.
Okay, everybody's falling in and out. John, what did you say?
I said, there's a challenge. Steve said, party to the microphone. There's your challenge. You call in, you donate to the show, Steve. You're on the line here. You done said it. If you call in and donate and wipe this challenge out and get Bob to the place where he can pay his bills tonight, Steve from Georgia Stan will indeed fart into the microphone.
I don't know if that's a challenge so much as it is a threat, John. That's more like if it doesn't happen, Steve will do that.
This makes a threat. I'm not that gassy this evening, Uncle John. I don't know how to pull it off.
TMI, TMI, great God Almighty, TMI.
If you wanted to know...
Just saying. Yeah, that's not a challenge, John. That's a threat.
That's a threat. Up to the microphone. It's Steve in Georgistan who will perform his world-famous bilabial fricative.
Drum roll.
On the Horn Family Show.
Well, Henry just jumped in, so let's see. What is that? $40. $40.
$40.
Yeah.
We're
Yeah, we're $40 from meeting the challenge and $75 from being done, I think.
Think about it.
You mentioned huffing starter fluid. Has anyone seen an early movie from Philip Seymour Hoffman, Love, Liza?
Love, Liza.
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
It's really good. Here, I finally get a movie request for everybody. Yeah, Kathy Bates is in it. Yeah, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's, I think, greatest performances. Really good.
Really good, but I want to ask a question since we were discussing farting. Does that have anything to
do? No, you're discussing it. I'm not discussing it. God damn it.
No.
Well, John, it was loud. It was sudden. It was smelly, and at first we just didn't know what it was.
There you go.
Y'all have started some shit. No kidding. All right, who did that?
There it is.
It was the cat, Bob. The cat.
Close, Bob.
Okay, so David in South Carolina, Stan says, y'all sound as if I'm tripping on Sideshow Wind of Pain.
You go, baby. We're trying.
Meanwhile, Irish Dave catching the whole zeitgeist of the moment says, nice little podcast you got there. Be a shame if somebody farted into the mic.
That sounds like
no.
I think some people cut out.
Cut something. Was that the cheese?
Limburger.
Are the spiders barking tonight?
I don't know.
Peter, yeah.
It's blowing out of the north. So
Texas T would like us all to know that farting into the microphone is a violation of FCC. rules. Luckily for us, the FCC. No, unfortunately for us, the FCC has no jurisdiction here.
I believe that comes under the provision that covers spurious communication.
It'll stink up your mic, though. I mean, you won't want to use it again, right?
But you're right. You're right for your voice. Never mind. Shall not be infringed upon. You have the right.
Okay, so Kitty has jumped in. Thank you, Kitty. Thank you so very much, Kitty in Boston. And so that takes us down to 25 on Chris's challenge and a grand total of 50.
Verily, I say unto you, reach down into your heart and find that image, I mean, that emotion that... come on, y'all getting down to nothing. He needs to go down to nothing. We need to have this done.
Yes, I hear somebody.
It's Tracy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Tracy.
Okay, because you guys are going in and out on my connection. And don't even fuss at me when I'm about to do this, because you're gonna fuss, but I don't give a damn, because I'm a grown ass woman. I can do what I want. what's the balance now?
I think it's like $50 to finish.
$50, done. Okay.
Tracy, you're a doll, baby.
Hi, Tracy. Wow.
Thank you, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. I wanted to introduce myself to you because you're queen of the leans, Starlene from Connecticut.
Hey, honey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I'm stuck in traffic in L.A., so what else is it? I'm going, I know I'm probably going in and out, but I wanted to throw that in. And by the way, if anybody wants to throw in extra, just because I threw in the 50 doesn't mean that you guys don't have to stop giving. So don't trip. So say, oh, well, you know, Tracy gave money, so we're done. Bullshit. You know, every little bit helps. So if you guys, if somebody wants to say, throw in, especially the people who are listening over the weekend, if you want to throw in some more money, that'll just help for money.
Let's get him going into next. Let's get him going into next week.
So we don't
because it's a continuous thing. It's a continuous thing. And Tracy, that's just marvelous of you, darling.
You know, he's going to be gone for a few days in April. So everything that you know we throw in for the next few days, the next week, is gonna help. You know, this is an ongoing thing. This is a community. It's a combine. It's whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is, you know, we need this show. This show, I have said on many occasions, is the only thing at times that has kept me sane and has kept me from ripping up my hair, what's left of it, and, you know, running people over on the 405 and stuff.
See,
like
Bob,
that.
Bob provides a lot of services that people overlook, healthcare being one of them and road safety being another.
Yeah, I don't want to go to jail. I do not want to catch a case of people that I would run over would be white because I'm only in white neighborhoods. So I would do real jail time. I would get indicted. So to help people
so let's help keep Tracy out of jail too. So keep Bob on the air, baby. Keep that
keep
going.
Keep Bob on the air and keep me out of jail. I don't see a downside in this.
It's a family thing, baby. We have to take care of this Horn family.
See,
with
Bob,
show, I only need a couple of glasses of vodka instead of an entire fifth.
Well, then it's an economic advantage as well.
Bob, like Clarence the Angel said, it really is a wonderful life.
It is, baby. Well, just it is what you make it, and we need to make it wonderful.
Send Bob all your booze money.
or the
booze directly. It works for me, Bob.
Well, you know, I'm not allowed anymore, but
can use it as gasoline, Bob.
I mean, you'll notice that beer bottle in the pool hall picture is full.
Well, I got it. You know me, Bob. I've already fessed up to it. I don't drink that much. I'm a tea and coffee guy. I start with a cup of coffee in the morning. I switch straight over to Mama's tea.
Yeah, but there, John, you got room to grow.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I need a little bit on me.
Oh, and by the way, I've had a reminder and a sort of a warning from Kitty in Boston. Bob, won't you have to pay some kind of royalty to Howard Stern if somebody farts into the microphone? There will be no microphone farting. Okay, I can't afford it.
And well, I'm not gassy, so it's not happening.
Bob,
you mean we got to pay a royalty? Son of a man!
I got to tell you what happened yesterday on the trolley.
Bart, it will
on the trolley. I want to hear what happened on the trolley.
All right, I had to go out to the college area, San Diego State University. I had a meeting with a woman who works for an insurance company, and I'm getting a. It's not a supplement insurance for Medicare, but it's something that enhances the coverage, meager as it is, that I do have. So I'm coming back on the trolley, okay? And we get down to one stop before a major junction where a couple of lines come in, like the orange line and the blue line and all that. Well, we got a sudden rainstorm, and it flooded that particular station. So when that happens, when the water gets to a certain depth, the drivers of the trolleys are instructed to park the train where it is, and then once the water recedes, they can go into the station. So we were a half hour sitting there. This young couple sitting across from me couldn't have been more than their late teens or early 20s, and a little baby in a stroller. The young man pulls out a package of Swisher Sweet wrappers, cigar wrappers for blunts, proceeds to open a film canister with some fine-smelling dope.
Oh, good.
And meticulously rolls the most beautiful blunt it had ever been my pleasure to see. I mean, we were sitting there for a half hour, and this man was an artisan. And he
like watching an Indian. It's like watching an Indian yogi deconstruct a spider's web.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Scott, did you hit it, man?
No. I was afraid to. It looked so good, I was afraid of it. But you know, and finally the train moved. They got to the station, and I kind of winked and nodded at him, thinking, "Boy, I wish I had me one of them." And you know, that was that. But this is why I love California. Recreational dope, and if there's a delay on the trolley, well, shit, just roll a blunt for later.
And the collective voice from Texas said, fuck you.
Yeah, I know.
As Jim Morrison said on stage during one of his songs when somebody threw him a joint, he said, now that's a New York joint.
No, yeah. Man. I don't want to live someplace where somebody throws me a joint.
Well, John, if you're going to take care of the fuck you, West Virginia will in its own evangelical spirit, join in with a great big old amen.
There you go.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm just telling you what life is like here. I mean, we have pretty good internet, too.
There it goes again.
Oh, with the good internet, yeah.
Backwoods, Bob. That's all, baby. That's all.
Hey, I got a review of.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to fart earlier, and I didn't mean to.
Wait, Sparky? What, Sparky?
Damn it, Scott!
That'll be $10, Scott.
Sparky, go, Sparky.
I got a review of a new vape I got today, thanks to Bob Lottie.
Absolutely, you just got that shit up.
Yeah,
man.
It's a Sutra Mini, and man, it's a, I don't know what to call it, but man, it's great compared to what I had.
It's a dry herb vape.
Yep. Yeah, but you can also do a concentrate in it.
Concentrate.
David got like an oil. Yeah.
Yeah, only looks kind of like greasy stuff.
And you looks put like earwax, dark earwax.
You put it in a little glass container. I forget what it's.
Duncan, I've been loving that oil, but goddamn, it's been turning me into a helium head, man. I totally blew by a meeting yesterday, forgot all about it. Said, oh well, fuck it, man. $1 million client, who's that? Fuck it. Totally forgot, man.
So you know the meaning of
it. Oh, it's just Steve. Don't mind him.
There's no way around that. That comes with it, right? I
mean, did you do the high voice and everything?
Yeah, I finally got some oil. I'm good, man. But it works great, but it's making me a dingling, you know.
Well, the key thing is not to practice insurance while you're under the influence of helium.
Yeah, or I got a strain that doesn't. It's non-psychoactive that works too. So
yeah, somebody that's just been in a car wreck is not going to appreciate having a fucking munchkin to call them to find out the details.
Well, I don't know about that.
By the way, thanks to Megan. Megan, thank you very kindly for jumping in. That's mighty, mighty helpful. And I take it Megan was responding directly to what Tracy said. So thank you, Tracy.
There you go, baby. Every dime keeps the voice going.
And I got a story here that I have to mention because it's good news. It's happy news. Because Texas T had asked me to bring it to the attention of the community. Little golf clap. To the city council of San Antonio, Texas, behaving in a downright humane fashion. Chick-fil-A sought to put in one of its installations in the airport in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And Back in 2013, after the great big kerfuffle, and it's more than a kerfuffle, it was just filthy bigotry on, you know, Christian bigotry on the part of Chick-fil-A's evangelical ownership. They said, well, you know, we're going to get out of the culture wars and we're just going to sell chicken sandwiches. Well, being good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians, homophobes, naturally they were lying. And so a little bit of a dive into their foundation's donor practices. Yeah, Chick-fil-A is still giving to organizations whose sole purpose is hating on gay people.
Yeah.
So when that when that came to light before the San Antonio City Council, the city San Antonio City Council voted 6-4 not to let Chick-fil-A put in a goddamn restaurant in their decent, tolerant airport restaurant.
There you go, baby. Go San Antonio. Thank you, Dennis Valadez.
And they even sent a lovely card. Fuck you and your wife.
And the horse you rode in on.
Oh, shit.
In their case, the cow.
Take
that crap somewhere else.
And then on top of it all, the Chick-fil-A spokesman said, well, we're really sorry that they didn't tell us first, because we would have liked an opportunity to respond. Because, after all, they're from Atlanta, Georgia. And so I have to do my gooey.
Your best.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, I think they were smart enough to realize in San Antonio that if they had asked them to come in and talk about it, Chick-fil-A would have publicized it, and the evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, the bigots and homophobes would have gone absolutely apeshit bananas. Apeshit is bananas. And they would have wound up getting the stupid restaurant. So instead, they did the smart thing and just said, no, our airport seems to be getting along just fine without you.
Take your bigoted shit and go somewhere else.
Take your bigot. Take your hateful chicken elsewhere.
That's right. Sell it in the corner, baby.
In case anybody wants to know, there's a website called Buy Blue, BUIBLUE. Actually, the website is Vote With Your Wallet.
You can always do that, baby. You can always do that in every situation if you want.
And you can punch in the name of the company or whatever, and it gives you an indication of how they lean politically. And I do. I vote with my wallet.
It's another way to use your voice, baby. I mean, you know, the Supreme Court said that money is your voice. So
money is speech.
That's right. Money is speech. Right. So use it in the other way.
And that's something we need to. And I've mentioned this over the years. Consumer acts are acts of both political acts and acts that reflect upon your morality.
And effective.
And so, I've got a list of stuff I don't buy. I don't buy high fructose corn syrup. And I've gotten pretty damn serious about not buying anything with palm oil in it. Because palm oil is one of the single largest causes for deforestation in places like Indonesia, Malaysia, because there's such a demand for it. They'll just clear cut a forest, kill everything that lives, and plant an oil palm plantation on it.
The way it's harvested is brutal too, isn't it, Bob?
It's caused a significant decrease in, I think, the orangutan population.
No.
And the bottom line is, for instance, I mean, the stuff that's
when
got
you
that
start
in,
deforestation, we're kicking this planet right.
Is this Monsanto stuff? Is this Roundup that's caused the decrease in the orangutan population?
No. It's the simple. It's palm oil, Rick.
Palm.
And what you'll be surprised by is if you pick
everything.
Yeah, and this is it's kind of dangerous because there's this that thing called the munchies that happens when you do things like Scott was contemplating doing on the trolley the other day.
Not for me,
that damn Scott.
But If you look at a package of Oreos or a package of Chips Ahoy or a package of almost any mass-produced cookie or cake, it will have palm oil in it.
Even some chips are fried in it, you know?
I think so, yeah. I think you're right.
Yep.
I'm surprised they're not marketing it as a health food then. Use palm oil. It's better for you than XYZ.
I learned the hard way. You talk about munchies. Never go to the grocery store stoned, because you'll go in there for a newspaper and a quart of milk, and you'll come out with a whole cart full of
chips.
That's
what it is. Thank God. You have enlightened me.
Oreos, potato chips, you know, melon. Oh, Jesus. And oh, God.
You do this. Yes, you do this.
I go in there and start shopping for nachos. I need chips. I need cheese. I need jalapenos.
Salsa.
Some of that. Yeah.
You know, and a beer would go. A beer or two would go nice with this.
And I'm at a quandary when it comes
to beer. Dude, I've never tried raisin basil free range cruelty free vegan salsa before.
Covered
kind of looks good.
There you go.
Hey, Bob. Bob.
Yeah.
Speaking of the dude, why didn't you have sunglasses on in that picture? You would have been the dude.
Because it was night, Sparky.
She put up perfect
up there. That's all the more important. You got to block that moonlight, Bob. That moonlight.
It was a super moon.
Well, if that sweater turns up missing, don't look at me. It wasn't me.
Well, you'll have to pry it off me. I've got it on right now because it's kind of chilly here in the studio, and it's spring now, and I refuse to buy a single another thing or a single another 20-pound thing of propane until I'm going to be using it in a goddamn grill.
On you, baby, like me, I can't shit.
Damn, what if it's 10 below next week? Hey, you'll have to pay.
That the other day on my show when you really get down to brass tacks, you know, for a lot of us, me included, and a lot of other people, you know, when you get your income, which is very limited, and you start marking off the things that you absolutely have to do, you have to make that house payment, baby, or you ain't going to have a house to live in. You got to pay that electric bill. You got to pay the gas bill. There's certain things you go down that list that have to be paid. And then when you get down there, you start running into the other things like food and shit like that.
Yeah.
So that's the way a lot of America lives, baby.
A hell of a lot more of America lives that way than the Republicans even give a damn about. That's the problem. They don't give a damn.
But today I spoke a little bit about the subject because a part of my anger was pointed at, again, my favorite little target over there, Steve King in Iowa's 4th District, who came out bellyaching. The Katrina victims were all down there crying, help me after the storm. But his Iowa's 4th District.
Hawkeyes as opposed to Buckeyes, John. Well,
those guys,
by the way, the Hawkeyes won today. I watched the game. It was great.
There you go.
They beat Cincinnati.
Steve King was proclaiming that the people in Iowa there, they don't ask for handouts and all that.
But but there's some flooding going on. There's some flooding going on now, and his fiscal conservatism's gone right out the window, hadn't it?
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
You don't have a farm there.
No, let me make sure I've got the gist of what you were saying. Steve Cantaloupe's King, the most prominent white supremacist in the entire United States government, was declaring that Iowans don't want a handout, just a hand up.
Yeah.
And that he was no longer a fiscal conservative. And he wants a bunch of money.
Let me tell you, he gave a list of 20 top farmers in his district by name. And the top one up there, he's already gotten like $4.6 million in subsidies. And my point is, when you pay somebody to grow the food, that's called a subsidy. when you have to help somebody buy the food to eat, that's called welfare. Now, let me tell you, those farm subsidies, baby, down here in South Texas, every winter, I see these winter Texans come down, and I swear, baby, I don't want to bad mouth farmers because they do a lot for this country, and we're not talking about small farms here. We're talking about major farms. They come down in their big, nice RV and stay down here all winter, baby, and that RV ain't little, and they live in the high life, baby.
They're probably pulling it with a 3/4-ton dually truck, aren't they?
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It bothers.
Well,
it's going to be.
Keep trying, John. This is almost kind of weird. We go to one of it breaks up. Skype falls out. I start talking. And then suddenly you can hear people again. I think this is actually something in the Skype software.
Can I plug something real quick, Bob?
Go right ahead, John.
Nobody can see this, and I wish I could turn on a camera and whatnot. I received a shirt from a young lady, Natalie Palumbo, up in New York City. And I had just friended her as a member of the Blue Dot family over there about a month ago or so. And I got a letter from her and said, John, I'm sending you a shirt. I received this shirt, Bob, and it immediately opened my heart and just hit straight to home. It is a shirt. It's blue and it's done very well. It's got a logo in the center and it says, "You call this great? Are you shitting me?" And then in the center, it says, "Cowboy Hat Man, Blue Wave 2020. Now, I want to give this shout out. The reason I want to give this shout out is the reason that she created that shirt for me is that her brother, who suffers from low verbal autism, when he sees my show, that's what he says.
Aww.
He tries to take my voice and say, "You call this great? Are you kidding me?" And then he calls me Cowboy Hat Man. I love it. And we're trying to, we promoted the shirt because I gave her all, you know, I don't want no revenue off of this or anything, but it's to support Anthony, her brother, and her fight for autism because it hit home, because my sister suffered from cerebral palsy when she was born, and she suffered the ostracization the society sometimes give those that are disabled or and we walk by them, we do not engage, and mm-hmm. I remembered how it hurt my sister so bad that in her early 20s she took her own life.
Oh, Jesus, John.
But you need, you know, when we don't include everybody in our system, baby, the system breaks down. And I am just so proud of that shirt, and it's in the background on my set here in our studio, and I'm going to keep it up there. And it just shows, struck home.
John?
You know what, John?
Hey, wait a minute.
Hold on, Chris. Go, Sparky.
You can see, if you go to his YouTube page, Blue Dot in Texas, you can see the shirt. And it's like two shows ago or so, there's a link on the YouTube page for the shirt.
Yeah, occasionally I'm going to try to post the link out there for people
because, as a matter of fact,
I'm going to change my little logo up there because I love the nickname he gave me, the Cowboy Hat Man, because that's, you know, I wear a cowboy hat.
That's just beautiful.
It is.
And you know what? It goes to show something, John. And I began learning this. I was talking to Tracy about it last night or maybe the night before. I think it was last night. I had no idea when we started this program what it would turn into. And as opposed to programs that are out there delivering listeners to advertisers in order to try to entice them to buy gold now or buy a vacuum cleaner that'll pick up a bowling ball and drop it on a Swedish mattress made of foam developed by NASA.
It's amazing.
It's community. Yep, and it is caring, and it is a sense of connection that extends. But you know what? Nobody really gives a shit about Rush Limbaugh, and Rush Limbaugh really doesn't give a shit about anybody but himself.
Nobody, baby, and neither does Doug.
Hannity, the Savage Wiener, Beck, any of those turds.
Baby. Dollars. It's all right about the money.
That's not what we're doing. You know,
this family, whether you're talking about the Horn family or the Blue Dot family or just the Democrat Party in general, those that we call libtards and snowflakes, and I count myself proudly among them, that's part of what binds us together is the empathy and the compassion that we have for everybody in our world. It doesn't have to be here. It has to be everywhere. It's happened. What happened in New Zealand happens here. You know, we are the ones that project that inclusion of all of us, and that's what we fight for. And it's the other side that wants to put an asterisk on everybody, a label on somebody, and they want to make sure everybody knows that label. We don't put labels, baby. We don't put asterisks. Everybody on this side of the fence, baby, we're all welcome. But we need to remember occasionally, as I was reminded with this shirt, that means everybody, baby. And there are people that cannot tell you that they are in this fight, but they have it in their heart. And as long as I live, that the name Cowboy Hat Man, I will be so proud of that nickname.
You know what? I think, yeah, you got to take ownership of that, John.
I do, baby. I do. And it looks like me. There you go, Cowboy Hat. Can't say my name anyway. So I'm very proud.
Cowboy Hat Man, I like that. That's your new name, John.
As a matter of fact, I heard from her today that she was telling me. Because at the time that she had, I received the shirt, her father was in the hospital having some cardiac tests done on his heart. And the family was gathered all up there, and Anthony was there. And the whole family had watched the show the night I wore that T-shirt, the night I went live.
Beautiful, and just beautiful.
It was, Bob. I'm telling you, buddy. For the Horn family out there and in the Bob Blue, I've got it next to my table. I've got a beer, the beer I got today, Save the World beer. I've got some whiskey over here. I've got close to 300, I think at 300 T-shirts, gifts from everybody. But more importantly than that, it's some of the letters that I have received and things like this that touch your heart, baby, so deeply, and it humbles you. And because I always say I'm nobody. I live at the end of a street. Nobody knows me down here. All my neighbors are red, and I'm a blue dot. Baby.
Trust me, you want it that way, John.
That's it. I don't put a sign out my yard saying this is where I am because all my, and you're talking about this is how sometimes.
It's not a sign, John. It's a target.
Now, it is because talking about raising money for your show, and I ask for my Patreon members to donate and everything, and we appreciate the PayPal donations. I say it on my show all the time. And then you run into your neighbor down the street who says, well, John, we've seen you begging for money on the internet there. Hi, Bob. But it's nice to see you, too. See you later, Bob.
It tells me we are only as strong as our weakest
that's
link.
That's right, baby. You stand tall.
Well,
no
I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because from time to time, whenever somebody will tune in the program and hear the fundraising, which, by the way, I know you despise and I despise, but neither of us have figured out a way to make it go without it.
This is not a hobby.
George Soros, I ain't been able to rope his ass in yet, man.
I do 5 days a week, baby. It's all I do into this.
But the thing that I find interesting is they'll try to use that as an insult.
They do, baby. They do.
And it's not. Let me put it this way. We both love New Orleans, John.
Oh, but
nice. If you're walking down Bourbon Street in New Orleans or anywhere else in the quarter,
yes, sir.
And you see somebody on a corner there, who's got a fiddle, and she's playing her heart out.
Oh, baby, I'm reaching in my wallet.
If you're going to stand there and you're going to enjoy it. Yes. And she's got her fiddle case open, and you toss in
not
a fin
quarters either, yeah,
or yeah, you know, because it's the effort and it's the talent and it's the time and it's the dedication,
and it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
it makes you feel as good as it makes her get. It helps her. If you do that, and it's the same thing here on the horn, nobody wants to ask for no money. You know, nobody wants to be that guy holding up a sign, "I need help." But that horn family and the Blue Dot family, they come through all the time, month after month. They have to, because without it, the voice dies. The show goes away.
I love the fiddle analogy, but this is so much more important. And that's what I, you know, I'm trying to stress.
It's hard. There's not a whole lot of people that have the courage to open their mouth.
Well, if somebody can't play the fiddle correctly on Bourbon Street, it's not really going to affect my day-to-day living. This affects my day-to-day living.
Well,
this political arena, it affects me. It affects my loved ones. It affects everybody.
We have to be informed and involved.
We have to be on message.
We have to be behind one candidate at the end of this shit.
There's cancer growing in the state, and we have to get rid of it.
We do. And the point of that spear, believe it or not, because, you know, there's a lot of blue on each coast, but it's in places like West Virginia and in Texas, especially out in the rural areas where the world just assumes that's a red, that everybody out there is red. I'm a blue dot out here, baby, and there are a lot of blue dots out here in these red states. And we have to keep them motivated and driving in the same direction, baby. We can't leave anybody out. Every state in this country is worth fighting for, and because there are blue dots in every state, you know, so it's important to keep the voices that aren't regular, you know.
Yeah, and to break those bonds of perceived isolation.
Yes.
It's not. People aren't as isolated as they think. By the way, I got to share this from Texas T.
I like that guy.
He's a true son of San Antonio.
Well, there you go, baby.
He's the one who sent along Texas T's the one who sent along the happy story about Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. But he just knowing what I'm going to be doing here. Well, I'm leaving here a week from Sunday for 10 days in D.C. And please don't think it's a vacation, because it is not. We're scheduling meetings, and every day is going to be a freaking meat grinder, because it's going to start by having to drive into Washington D.C. along with, like, a billion other pissed off people who are all in a hurry to go really slowly.
It's the pure stress that you're going to go through during this whole time. It ain't no vacation, baby. You got to worry about everything you do.
But there are big doings coming, and I'll be talking about it a little bit tomorrow evening with our dear friend Tara Devlin on her program. Texas T writes, all kidding aside, Bob, very, very good luck to you and your ACT Act colleagues. Luck to you to stop the killing of your brothers and sisters in West Virginia due to MTR, mountaintop removal, and the killing of your beautiful West Virginia mountains. I will never, in the time I have left on this world, understand why there are people willing to destroy so much. If that makes me a pussy liberal, so be it. This all being said, Bob, due to the nature of the program tonight, please don't light a match. Thanks, Scott.
All right, baby, Texas State. I told you them refried beans, they go through real quick. Baby.
Now, wait a minute. Wait just a damn minute. I need to, Bob, echo what you're saying with your activities in Washington. And how long have you been working at this, you and the organization?
We've been working on mountaintop removal for the last two decades. I joined the fight in the last two decades of my life.
Yeah.
We've been working on the ACT Act in particular since 2012. We started the idea of it in 2011. Yeah. In 2009, we began getting the data that was showing us how grave the harm was.
Well, here's where the hope resides, okay? And I know I'm the eternal optimist and stuff, relentless optimist. But I mentioned on Facebook the other day of a movie that I saw, again, with my movies, on Netflix, another documentary, The Devil We Know.
Yeah, well, you know, I interviewed Mike Papantonio on this program about that film.
Yeah. Well, and it's a hell of a film. I'd never heard of it. I didn't even, I'd heard of Parkersburg, but I didn't know the story of how that company, which company was it? It wasn't Union Carbide.
DuPont.
It was DuPont. In the manufacture of Teflon, which they've been at since like 1945 or something.
And that's Netflix, The Devil We Know, correct?
Yeah, it's an excellent. It'll bum you out.
Yeah, don't think for an instant that you're not going to finish it and just want to go and slap somebody.
Yeah.
No, but not slit your wrist, slap somebody. Yeah. You want to do something. Oh, there it went again.
On the voices, there it is.
Oh, and by the
dissidents.
Way. You might find this interesting. You know, Arnold listens to the program, and Arnold's also a radio producer. And with the business we've been experiencing with Skype tonight, I said a little bit ago, I'm beginning to think it's a Skype thing. And Arnold said Skype had an update, and it cuts out audio really badly. I had this problem last night. If it senses any music or melody whatsoever, it'll cut, and I'm beginning to think if it senses more than one voice at the same time, it will cut.
There goes my singing career. I was hoping to debut right here.
That makes sense. More than one voice could sound like artificial harmony to a Skype bot, you know?
Well, artificial intelligence ain't getting that intelligent, is it?
No, it's going the wrong way. It's going backwards.
But Bob, my bottom line thought on the movie The Devil We Know, and the work that you guys are doing in terms of stopping mountaintop removal is, at some point, the information comes out and it spreads and people become aware. And if it resonates with the people who are in a position to make a meaningful, positive difference, then the good stuff starts happening. That's when you get out and dance and are happy. But it doesn't happen automatically. It's just like this fucking show doesn't happen automatically.
Our country advances when we have people with enough courage to use their voice, even when it means going right into Congress, baby.
Yeah.
It takes that.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Darlene. Can I ask, who are you going to be visiting there when you go to Washington? Are you focusing on the Senate? Are you focusing on the House or both? Are you going to try to talk to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Well, our strategy is focused exclusively on the House this time because, A, there's a Democratic majority, and, B, there is finally going to be a committee hearing on the health impacts of mountaintop removal.
Right.
And since there are a whole bunch of newbies in the House, we're making a point of trying to reach out. We reach out to each and every one of them in the hopes that we can schedule a meeting to take a half an hour. Because the front end, if you've worked with somebody for a while, Darlene, then you've already done the education work and you can move into the advocacy work. But for the most part, with all the newbies, we're probably going to have to explain what mountaintop removal is.
God, you.
What, Steve?
You missed.
I hate Skype. Maybe one of us will be back in a minute.
I'm saying.
Louise Slaughter. You miss Louise Slaughter, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, what a wonder she was.
Yes. Thank you, Darlene.
You're welcome. Yeah.
And then we'll probably also work the committees, but there's a relatively limited amount of time, but I'm glad you asked, Darlene, because, there are people out there. I think our friend Kitty in Boston is one of them. I'm not sure. Do you have a newbie in Congress, Darlene?
Yeah, we have Jahan Hayes.
Okay. So.
She's in the House of Reps. I don't know if she sits on any committees that would
Well, but see, it's not necessarily a committee thing, Darlene. We're reaching out to all the newbies, period, because the bill's going to intro, and it would be great when that committee hearing gavels in. It would be wonderful if it gavelled in and the bill had 100 co-sponsors on it.
That is true, yes.
And so if we get Ayanna Pressley, if we get AOC or Ilhan Omar or Sharice Davids.
Johanna Hayes. Yeah.
Right, exactly. If we got all the newbies, that would be 40 co-sponsors we've never had before. So you kind of opened the door for me, Darlene, to say, if you live in a district with a brand new member of the House of Representatives who's a Democrat,
it'll make
our lives a lot easier if you'll write them an email and say there's going to be some folks from the 8 campaign trying to call on you as one of your constituents. I want you to A, meet with them, B, sign on as a co-sponsor to the bill, and C, vote for it if it comes to the floor.
There you go. That your voice is powerful in a lot of ways, baby, and that's one way to exercise it right there.
Bob, is there any chance that'll hit C-SPAN on 1, 2, or 3?
I'd say there's a good chance.
Well, that would be awesome. That would be excellent. We need to talk if that's gonna happen. We just need to talk.
Okay.
All right.
That hasn't been scheduled. Has that been scheduled yet, or is that still up in the air in terms of trying to see it on C-SPAN?
I don't think they publish the schedule that far in advance.
Right.
Okay. We have a date, but I don't know if I should give it out.
Okay.
But it'll be coming in that time frame in which I'm up there, and once I see it hit the official schedule, I will tweet it for all I'm worth. I'll Facebook it, and you know we got a week of broadcasting to do next week too, so I'll be updating that way as well. But for instance, Tara's member of the House is AOC, and unless I got it completely wrong, Representative Pressley is Kitty in Boston's. And yours again is who, Darlene?
Johanna Hayes, J-A-H-A-N-N-A-H-A-Y-E-S, Hayes.
Okay.
She replaced Elizabeth Esty. She's very focused on education. She was Teacher of the Year, African, really wonderful a woman. African-American woman acknowledged by President Obama at the time for being Teacher of the Year. And she turned it into a really good campaign and wound up getting a seat in the House.
What district is that, Darlene?
I think it's the 5th. It's the 5th congressional district. I'm going to have to look. That covers my area. Let me just double check on that. Yeah, 5th Congressional District. She's in the 5th.
Excellent. I'll double check to make sure that outreach has been made.
Yeah.
Have you ever reached out, Bob, to any of the California delegation?
Oh God, yeah. We've got more California. We've had more California co-sponsors than any other state. You know, largely, I guess that would be natural because there's more California members than any other state, but California's representative Scott are responsive to issues like this.
Well, that's where I was going. My representative is Susan Davis, and she is nowhere near being a newbie in the House, but being from California, it's built into her awareness to have an interest in the quality of our air and its impact on the quality of our life.
Exactly. And anybody, and that's one of those nuanced things about the AIC Act. One of the things that all the science that has been done has shown us, I mean, no disrespect to anybody who's fighting for water, because we can't live without it. But in the mountaintop removal area, by the time you see that your water's been ruined, you've been breathing poisoned air for years.
Yeah.
And so what that dust does to the systems of your body, it has been doing for years. For instance, in one study performed by the Mary Babb Randolph Cancer Center at WVU, they exposed living human lung tissue to this dust, and they simulated 8 years' worth of exposure. And within, and almost from the minute that they exposed the dust to the tissue, the tissues began to experience tumorogenic changes. In other words, cancer started growing the instant the stuff was exposed.
Is that some of that science shit there, Bob?
That would be some of that scientific shit, yes.
It's microscopic, minute particles of silica, which is horribly destructive.
And if you look at it under a scanning electron microscope, our buddy Dr. Allen down Texas way did that for a living, and told me once, it does. One of these ultrafine particles of sandstone silica looks like a little piece of jagged glass.
Yeah,
and it behaves in your body like a piece of jagged glass.
And lungs are not like the skin on the palm of your hand or your feet. It's not tough material we're talking about here. The lungs, this is why smoking cigarettes is so horrible over time, because of the impact that it has on sensitive, delicate, vital organs within you.
And what's more, Scott, is these fine particles have a special property. They're so small that they can go through the cell walls and make changes inside the nucleus of the cell.
Mm-hmm. They can
also transit the heart-lung barrier, the blood-brain barrier, and most importantly, the placental barrier. Yeah. And that's why we wind up with that one statistic that shows that a woman who smokes, you mentioned smoking.
Yeah.
Take two women. One of them smokes and is pregnant.
Well, how soon can they be here?
Goddamn, man.
Assume two women who are pregnant. One of them smokes but doesn't live near mountaintop removal. The other one is doing everything her doctor wants her to do. She does not smoke, but she lives near a mountaintop removal site. Woman who does not smoke but lives near MTR has a 100 and, compared to a smoker, for fuck's sake, a 180% greater chance of giving birth to a baby with respiratory and other birth defects than the woman who smokes. And smoking is terrible for fetuses.
You can't lie with the numbers.
But you come up with that science stuff and you lose the right, bud. Because while you're up there, my congressman's office, who is Michael Cloud, and from South Texas, District 27, go by his office and flip him the bird, because what he'll say, he don't give a shit. If it's oil, gas, and money, baby, that shit,
But John,
it's the problem.
He wouldn't care if you grew three heads, would he?
He wouldn't give a shit, baby.
Here's the deal. The people who are exposed to this madness, and I'm drooling. That's how overwrought I am. When your body does begin to react to the foreign invader, you talk about the fear of foreign, the threat of foreign invaders.
It could be 50 years later.
Not only that, your body does do its natural thing to repel it and combat it, there's nothing your body can do. It leads to inflammation, which opens up a whole different set of health issues.
Yeah, tell me about it. When I left the Army, I retired from the Army Depot out here, and I was in aircraft. I worked on aircraft parts for a long time, for years, and I had to, meaning cadmium plate, which I have that in my system, it's a heavy metal, and other processes through it processing aircraft equipment, you have to not sandblast it, but you have to glass bead blast those parts. You put it in a cabinet in there, you stick your hands in there, and you spray it with high-speed glass beads. And I did it for years, and when I left, of course, that's the two things they informed me about. Oh, by the way, John, you have a high level of cadmium in your system and a heavy layer of glass bead in your lungs. So, yeah. I know what that feels like. You know, I didn't get it from my
Uncle John, inflammation is the underlying cause of all autoimmune disease. Look it up.
And cancers as well.
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
From the years that I did that, they have changed the system out there at the Army Depot, and they have a better ventilation system, a better suction system, because, you know, it used to be like dust in there. You'd walk in, it was like fog. So they've done a lot by that. But along with that and the mountaintop removal, it only gets done when people are willing to go up there and talk and spread the news and kick people and drag them and make them understand. Because if we don't do that, big money walks all over it. In corporations,
I think it's a lot larger than that. I think Fukushima fucked us all up on some degree or another. You know,
there are so many instances that you could point that are going to impact the world we live in, which is why it is important to stop and go, hey, what do you got there in that Green Deal anyway?
You can't be pumping this into the earth. She never asked for this shit.
Worked in the oil field for a long time, and I understand fracking. I'll tell you what, baby, it impacts so much. It's not only the formula that they pump down there in the ground to fracture it, because that's proprietary oil,
and look how many earthquakes that has created out in the Oklahoma area. I mean, the numbers don't fucking lie, man. What
freaking water they have to use to frack one well. Baby, you'll suck your water table to nothing. When ranchers around here, when they need fracking water, baby, they put a sign out. They're selling their well water as fast as they can pump it out of the ground, baby.
All right, John, Uncle John, let's wrap our heads around this. How much energy it takes to do that out in Oklahoma, this fracking, compared to mountaintop removal, how much energy that takes? My God, we're raping the earth.
Then
we wonder why we're all fucking sick and have.
Well, when you talk about mountaintop removal, I can tell you how much effort goes into it.
Now I'm talking energy.
Consider.
That's how you get it.
If it's the dust particles that are causing the problems, ponder the amount of dust generated by no less than 3 million pounds of ammonium nitrate fuel oil explosives being detonated every day but Christmas for the last 20 years in southern West Virginia, eastern Kentucky, southwest Virginia, and northeast Tennessee.
And Bob, would it be fair to say that's microdust? It gets picked up in the wind currents, and it gets just covered all over everybody.
The EPA recognizes two standards of dust: PM10, particulate matter of 10 and 10 microns, and PM2.5. PM2.5 is much finer, and then there is a gradation of dust that is even smaller than that, that EPA doesn't even recognize.
They don't have instruments capable.
They've got instruments capable, but they've never been allowed to classify it. In Europe, ultrafines are recognized as one of the most toxic substances on Earth. One of the scientists that we've worked with explained to me, and I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. When you're doing testing with things like that, there's a substance called titanium white. And at PM10 and PM2.5, it is inert. That means it's not going to do anything.
Right.
When you reduce titanium white to an ultrafine, it becomes carcinogenic too.
In layman's terms, does that mean it just disperses?
Well, no. You're okay.
We're going to get cancer way later.
Well, no, it generally within 2 decades. Like I said, cancer within 8 years in human lung cells exposed to the dust.
That's what that means. In 8 years, 10 years from being exposed to that, you can damn well bet your
body. Or maybe it's not cancer. So this is weird, and this is we've got real world experience with this. None of my daughters have gallbladders. Because we're talking about girls who had their gallbladders out in their 20s and two of them in their early teens.
That's not normal.
No, it's not, Darlene. Gallbladders generally go bad when you hit 45, 50.
There's got to be cause and effect there.
And gallbladders, kids have gallbladders out all over southern West Virginia.
Hey, Bob, is there any tie to mesothelioma with mountaintop removal dust as well?
No. There's all kinds of different cancers, but mesothelioma tends to be related primarily to asbestos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bob, correct me here. I'm going to give an analogy in terms of scale from the dust and the particulate matter coming from years and years and years of mountaintop removal versus this industrial refinery fire on the outskirts of Houston.
God, what a nightmare. I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did.
The magnitude of scale between what has gone on this week in Houston and health risk and what has been going on for years in West Virginia is the difference between the smoke from your neighbor's backyard barbecue versus just Armageddon level of smoke.
Well, yeah, another good way of looking at it is you remember the Deepwater Horizon disaster?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, as much damage as that did, it didn't even amount to one mountaintop removal job.
Wow.
Well, that's scary. If people
and remind me exactly why we're doing mountaintop removal, Bob.
Well, that's
mineral can we get out of there?
No, that's the real pisser, John. It's coal extraction.
Oh, are you shitting me, Bob? We don't use coal no more. Coal's antique. We have better things than. Are you shitting me, Bob?
Yeah, but time out. Here's the funny part. The coal that comes out of a mountaintop removal site contributes. I mean, it's a tiny percentage of the overall coal produced when you look at places like the Powder River Basin in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you do mountaintop removal is because it doesn't take a lot of people,
right?
You can do it quick and dirty, and it makes a fortune for the coal company and the banks that finance it. It makes a fortune for the people who underwrite the bonds and sell the bonds. Right. And so all the money is already made before the coal is even mined. They mine the coal, they poison the communities, and then guess what they do?
Go look for another mountain.
Well, they look for another mountain, or else that particular coal company goes bankrupt.
Oh, bankrupt. They lost all their money. Isn't that sad? We should give them some money to help them out.
Yeah, and it's like what I was talking with Dan Fisher about last night. We've seen it happen so many times, it's absolutely predictable. What'll happen is the coal company will go as far as it can go, then it declares bankruptcy, and then it gets the bankruptcy court's permission to refer to everybody that ever worked for the coal company as a miner, as a liability. They get to list pensions as a liability. They get to list health care as a liability.
Violence play while they're doing.
You're damn sure right they do. So the workers' pensions get zeroed out. The 401k plan goes down to zero because the stock's no longer worth the paper it's printed on, and no pension and no health care. I literally know of stories of mountaintop removal workers who had their health care canceled while their wives were undergoing treatment for breast cancer. No shit.
If you're wondering why.
But then, it's going to get more outrageous, right. John.
Oh, it.
After they've zeroed all of this out and taken all the money that they had squirreled away into those funds and put it into the common pot. Then they go back and they ask the bankruptcy court, hey, we've got some great executives here, but they might go to work for somebody else. So we need to pay all of them $1 million retention bonus. Can we do that, bankruptcy judge?
Sure,
and the bankruptcy court says, sure, look at all that money in that pot. In any other circumstance, it would be criminal.
Every dime in your pocket, baby. We fight for it every day. They don't give a shit about your health, your family budget. They don't care, baby. They're interested in one thing, and that's the profit. They can do it. They can do it on our health care. They can do it in their energy. They do it everywhere. It's profit, baby. And if we don't stand up for everybody on our side, baby, we lose it all. Your life, your health, everything.
And you know what? As fucked up as West Virginia is, John, and this isn't me picking on you or your beloved home state, as fucked up as West Virginia is, Texas is about 1,000 times more fucked up in terms of the lack of environmental regulations. Texas T just reminded me of the Texas City explosion. Yes. And I was in West Texas, you know, not far from Waco, my one and only trip to Texas, just a couple of months after that whole town blew up.
I'm telling you, the best thing that ever happened for Texas down here was in the oil and gas industry, was that dick got put in there and started picking the APA off like one by one, regulation after regulation, baby. Start getting rid of them rules and regulations. We can frack anywhere. We can dump our waste anywhere. It doesn't matter. Just get the money out of the ground, whether it be a mountaintop or a hole in the ground, baby. Suck it out.
Yeah, until somebody wants to put a frack pad next to an oil industry executive's house, and then they go to court.
Regulations, baby. We have a community uphill. You can't do that here. Go out there in the country and pull it up next to some old boy's ranch and start right outside his back window, and the oil companies will take you to court if you groan about it. You don't like the noise, the smell.
Wasn't that a Texas executive that you're referring
yeah,
to?
Yeah, that's yes. And they were about to frack right next to his gated McMansion community.
Can't do that.
You know, as
material that.
Yeah, go, Scott.
Hey, go ahead.
Hello, Scott.
You know,
thank. Proprietary. What you said. I'm sorry.
And nobody gets to know what it is.
Maybe I'm sorry. Proprietary rights on that formula, and it is protected by law. They don't have to disclose it to
anybody.
Hey, Scott,
that's a great point. Scott, can Adam Schiff or somebody, Maxine, like haul Cheney's ass up in front of Congress for a hearing and ask him what's in that shit?
Chris. They're up against so much.
Law,
I mean,
it was written into the law. That's a proprietary right. It's just like Coca-Cola. You can't ask them to give that.
It's a trade secret.
And
to get back to the fundraising goal of the horn, this is why what we're up to is so damned important. Now, this
everything.
I don't know how long
it impacts this, everything.
This brief primer on mountaintop removal and why we shouldn't have it, okay, and the health effects therefrom. In 20 minutes, we've covered just about everything that you would want to know basically about this insidious behavior. Anybody with 14 viable brain cells to bang together presented with this a bit of information would say, well, that's crazy. Why are we doing that?
Scott, it's too logical. Your argument's too logical.
I know.
Scott, this is important. And we have to understand that the concept of environmental justice is very real. Because let me tell you where they're not doing mountaintop removal. They're not doing it in the mountains overlooking Southern California. They're not doing it on Mount Tam looking down on the San Francisco Bay. They're not doing it on the in the Olympic range in Washington. They're not doing it on the front range in Colorado, okay? Because all those places, and I'm not being an asshole here, okay? I'm really, I don't want to come across that way. But all those people, all those places have people with sufficient wealth to make goddamn sure it doesn't happen. Now, compare that with a place like West Virginia. You know how many billionaires West Virginia has?
I don't know.
Not that many, Bob.
One. And the one West Virginia billionaire we have is a mountaintop removal coal baron.
Well, go figure.
But it all spawned off a bunch of evil son of a bitches. Let's trace it back to the Pittston Coal Company back in the 70s. With the Buffalo
we have a system that runs on profit. I don't care if you're talking about health care. It's not health care. It's profit care.
Actually,
every rule and regulation.
Bob, do you remember that? The Buffalo
Buffalo Creek disaster. But that wasn't mountaintop removal. That was just plain No, that was just plain old garden variety filthy strip mining. But here, hold on, Steve. This is important.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not trying to shut you down, man, but I want you to know this. The law of unintended consequences is at play here. Because after the Buffalo Creek disaster in February of 1972, when an entire community was wiped off the face of the map, when a sludge dam broke loose, and that was just a tens of millions of gallons sludge dam. The sludge dams we have now, and we've got 200 of them in this state, all have more than a billion gallons in them. Not any tens of millions like Buffalo Creek.
What would happen if that got out, Bob?
Oh, we know. They have to print it in the engineering reports. But here's the thing. So it was so bad that in the mid-1970s, people banded together and said, we got to stop strip mining. It's got to be stopped. So Big Greens, who didn't live here, worked out a compromise without really asking anybody who lived here. And they came up with something called the Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act. It's referred to colloquially as SMACRA. And SMACRA was going to regulate the coal, the practice of strip mining so that it could be done safely. And SMACRA is the mother of mountaintop removal. And the bill was so shitty that when Jimmy Carter signed it into law, because it had been passed by a Democratic Congress, he said, I'm signing this into law, but I'm telling you, it's a bad law.
Why do we keep doing things that we know are wrong?
What, Tracy? Oh, I'm sorry. Chris.
How many Democratic presidents do we have that do that, Bob? They sign stuff, and then years later, they say, why did I sign it?
Well, if I'm going to be a little bit of an asshole here, Chris, I have to point out that when he was on the hustings in 2008, Barack Obama would make appearances in southern Illinois and western Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio, and he would say the following sentence. This is a quote. Don't shoot the messenger. This doesn't mean I hate Barack Obama. He would say,
I'll unload with a gun.
He would
stop telling us how to hate Barack Obama.
Well, I fucking earned that one.
You're lucky, too. I have my hand on it.
Yeah. But he would say, I want to make Western Pennsylvania the Saudi Arabia of coal. And then he'd cross the river and he'd say, I want to make Eastern Ohio the Saudi Arabia of coal. And then he'd go back to southern Illinois, where his original rise into the Senate had been largely funded by the coal industry, and say, I want to make southern Illinois the Saudi Arabia of coal.
Well, what year is this, Bob? Let's trace this back.
This is 2008.
Right, we all look, our hands are not that clean. Okay.
When he was running?
His first campaign.
Yeah.
His first presidential campaign.
If you go back and you listen to the whole archive. Mm. Of 2008, you'll find when he said it, because I had a conniption on air. But the thing is, there was no choice. The other choice wasn't much either, because somebody, when she was here, she actually bothered to come here. And give Hillary credit. She came here in the last campaign, too, and, you know, got a bunch of shit for her troubles because she was taken out of context. She really was taken out of context. But asked about mountaintop removal in 2008, she said, well, there's got to be some better way of mining coal than blowing up the mountains.
Yeah, let's quit mining coal.
That wasn't a very good choice of words, but I get what she's saying. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the people, by and large, the fix is in. The people who pass the laws and sign the laws, by and large, are the fix is in. They're bought and paid for. They're paid not to know. Not to care.
And that's where the nickname corporate Democrats came from. Don't think our party has clean hands and everything.
Oh, hell
there
no.
People
I used
within
to...
our own party. Joe Manchin, right there.
Oh, we Jesus Christ.
Him. Everybody hates him, but you had to vote for him. Shit.
Well, I used to have this a Congress. I used to have a congressman by the name of Nick Joe Rahal. And he was in Congress. He'd been in Congress since Christ was a corporal in the Army of God.
Oh, I remember.
And he did two things in his career. He was almost single-handedly responsible for the creation of the New River Gorge National River, which now fuels the economy of this area where I live. But at the same time, he was one of the principal sponsors of the Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act.
Jesus,
Bob, this is what bugs the hell out of me regarding Biden being the great white hope in 2020 for the Democrats. And that is, Biden originally was a senator from the smallest state, Delaware. Delaware is an old Indian word meaning DuPont. Okay? If you look in the...
E.I. DuPont de Nemours.
And the credit card industry.
You have a Home Depot bill. If you physically mail it, it's going to Delaware, man.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
And speaking of which, was it Charlene or Darlene we're talking about credit cards? And
oh, that was Charlene.
PBS documentary from a few years ago, another TV viewing tip.
Oh, here we go.
PBS Frontline, Secret History of the Credit Card. It's about a 12-year-old documentary. But
yeah,
it's still
relevant.
Watching.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I was just making a comment about where we don't have clean hands, but we don't have to sit here and start shooting at our side. We know we have problems, baby, and that's how come we have people in there. That's right. We can fix them as long as we start putting the people that we elect and hold them accountable to the vote that they take in representing their constituents.
I'm just saying, John, we've got like 15 candidates so far. I'm saying to my fellow Democrats and independents is choose wisely.
Listen to all of them and choose wisely. Everybody that knows me and my show, you know, I have a favorite baby. I've got a man in this race. And I'm holding back I want to hear everybody. I want everybody's voice to be heard. And I don't want to have a circular firing squad. You know, I don't want to see Democrats start bad-mouthing other Democrats and start picking them off early. But we do have a house to clean, baby. There are things that have gone wrong for decades. That fight that Bob's in has been going on for decades, baby. And there's been Democratic presidents and Democratic Congresses and the problems. So it takes time and effort to do that shit.
Keep pressure on the politicians.
Right.
Make them accountable for how they vote.
The only thing that makes a difference is those congressmen in the Senate. I mean, those senators in the Senate. It's the only way to change this world. As long as they control, you know, the laws that are passed in our country, then we ain't got a sign and ass shit chance in this.
Well, that's why Bob says dream big.
That's right. We have to
dare to dream.
How we got PA?
Hey,
by being a bunch of hippies and concerned about this environmental shit.
I think Duncan's reaching out to you, Bob.
Yeah.
Duncan, is that you?
Like Bob was saying.
Yeah, it's me.
Duncan's trying to reach out to you, Bob.
Yeah, go, Sparky.
I was going to tell you about my feel good moment this morning I had.
Yeah.
While I was visiting the Golden Archers Cafe drive-through, I noticed the motel I've been watching, because it's one of my filthy habits to go through there every once in a while, had a construction project going on in this one corner of the parking lot. I kept trying to think, what the hell are they doing?
I bet I know.
What do you think it is?
They were putting in car charging stations.
You are correct.
Oh, baby, I love it.
Well, you know how I was able to guess that, Sparky?
Fuck it, I'm moving, man.
Well, wait, Steve.
I thought it was a pot shop or something.
No, I'm gonna knock your socks off, Sparky. I was over in Beckley the other day, and we pulled into people of a certain area. It's like the Western Pennsylvania idea of Wawa. It's called Sheets. Clean, big, you know, gas stations, little bakery, coffee shop.
Yeah,
and we just happened to swing around behind Sheets in Beckley, West Virginia, and there was a bank of 10 electric car chargers.
We can't.
Wow. Even West Virginia cannot hold back the future.
That's right. It needs that infrastructure to support it. Awesome. As soon as it's normalized, baby, everybody, you know, shit.
Was there a line of
courtesy of a bunch of electricians too? You got to remember that. Yeah.
And in this state, likely union electricians.
Yeah. On that note, with the environment and everything, over 2 years ago, I read an outstanding article from this guy in Missouri that had developed, and the article was entitled "Solar Powered Freaking Highways," and this guy developed a material that cars can drive on and don't slide all over the place and all that shit. That actually it's like a solar panel. It creates energy. Not only that, the lines on the road are LED lighted.
We've never had to pay for gas.
I mean, that technology exists, and you know, they're fixing potholes out here. That's the kind of shit that's going to drive the future. I am not driving my George Jetson car, and by this time, I thought I would have one.
And I'm rather just
don't.
So,
I was a kid. I said, "You wait, man, into the 2000s, I'm going to be having. I'll have one of them."
Hey, John. Yeah. Hey,
I ain't
John,
got it yet.
Ah. Guess what, John?
What that?
I may have to settle for a Tesla. I've got to get a new car.
Are you
my car
shit,
was
mate?
Deemed as totaled. It was deemed totaled by my insurance company,
and
I'm like $5,000 underwater in relation to what the loan amount is.
Yeah.
So it's a fucked up situation, you know.
Dude.
But I'm gonna maybe look and see about a Tesla or a Bolt, all electric Chevy. So.
Hey, let me suggest you take one other look, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, but before he tells you that, one word, Rick. Chauffeur.
Yeah.
Chauffeur. I'm just saying.
Chauffeur. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that works. That works. I thought you were going to say plastic there for a second.
I have a good talking record, buddy. I can sit back and enjoy the view. Concerts. I'll take you right. Food. Buddy, I'm your man. I'll drive you where.
Okay.
I like Rick's life, baby.
It'll be.
I'd get in there.
No, Rick, in all seriousness, look at the Hyundai Ioniq.
Hyundai, really?
Yeah, because for starters, it's got a 100,000-mile warranty on it and a lifetime warranty on the battery.
Oh,
lifetime. Wow.
And that's a game changer. And a little bit later this year, Hyundai is going to introduce a little SUV called the Kona, K-O-N-A, all electric, 245-mile range.
We're getting there, baby, slowly but surely.
Wow. That's nice.
The whole future of these cars is going to hinge on developments in batteries. And there's a guy who was known for some of the first batteries used in the application of automobiles. And I forget his name. He's an old fart, like 90-some years old. He just got the patent for a battery made of glass or something.
Oh. Wow.
It's like the next step beyond lithium-ion batteries and the problems with those.
Let's go, baby. Keep marching that shit forward.
I'm waiting for the transparent aluminum cars, guys, you know?
Yeah, I understand. Mm. Hey, y'all, I gotta break in because we've come to the end. But it's
thanks,
been...
Thanks for the show, Bob.
Oh, thank, yes, thank every, thank, thank all of y'all. And let me extend a special thanks. We have never had a Friday on the Front Porch that had two members of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society and the sorority of Leans. So thank you, Darlene, for jumping in, and thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. It was fun.
I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And, you know,
I did.
And you know, may the fleas of a thousand camels infest the shoes of whoever did this to Skype.
my kids think about going to Discord.
And the people that did that, though, may their farts never smell like cashmere bouquet.
You're just not going to quit with the farts, are you?
Enough fart talk for one night now.
Yeah. We're gonna slowly move the Horn Express up off the spur, up the grade, and hopefully get up out of the gutter in time for this Monday's program. But it was a rousing conversation. Thank you to you all, and thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to all of you who chipped in to help with Chris's Mueller Time Challenge. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 years leading the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia. Thanks to all of you who contributed to make the equipment fundraiser a success. Thank you so very much. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.